All right, what's poppin'? Drew and Mike show rolling into another week. Part of the last one in September 2020. I know, just blowing by here. And in fact, God, I can't believe it's so fast. Tuesday is the debate. Oh my Yay. God.
Yay.
I gotta tell you, I would be so flippin' nervous for 78 years old or 74 years old and doing a debate in front of the entire world. I can't imagine.
Well, that's why these men are leaders.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Crazy. Well, it was exciting to see my football team play over the weekend as the Hokies, 23 players shy due to COVID, and four coaches were out, including the new defensive coordinator, and they beat NC State 45-24 in front of, I don't know, 7,000 or 8,000 fans in Blacksburg. And I saw LSU lost. They're the first team to lose their first game after winning the championship since Michigan in 1998.
I was just going to say, has there been one since Michigan? Because Michigan went 0-2 to start that year.
I know Syracuse and Notre Dame.
Donovan McNabb just torched them at the Big House.
Yeah, he was that way.
I think that was the first time where people were like, oh, wow, a running quarterback really, really can hurt Michigan.
Well, that's why I kept asking about Joe Milton. Is he a running quarterback? And the answer seems to be not really.
Well, he can.
We love you, Joe!
He can run, yeah. But he's more of a drop-back passer. Allegedly.
Well, anyway, what else happened over the weekend? Oklahoma lost?
Yeah.
What upset
they're there? They're up 21, too, going into, I want to say going into the fourth quarter. Might be, no, about 2 minutes left in the third.
Didn't Kansas State get upset last week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Big 12's just a laughing stock.
Who cares?
Just a laughing stock right now. I love it. I was fully engaged in college football this week.
I was pretty engaged, too, because the SEC was playing. The Hokie game wasn't on, so I'm watching the game cast, watching play pop up. I mean, it's just so stupid.
Wait, you couldn't
I don't have the ACC network.
You should cut the cord. I have.
Who cares?
Why don't you ask me for my password?
I didn't know.
I didn't even know that existed.
I didn't. No, it's not one of those things where I'm going to die if I don't watch it. I was watching another game, and then Florida won. Florida beat, was it Mississippi?
Yeah,
Ole Miss. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, about 51. a billion to 10.
Yeah, it was a high scoring and a lot of scoring. So that was fun. And let's see, another 4 weeks, we'll have Big Ten football.
Oh my God. So weird.
And the Pac-10's going to play in November.
Oh, and Maction is back, too. Don't forget Maction.
Wait. Oh, yeah. I saw something about the MAC, and I didn't bother reading it. What is the MAC doing?
I think it's a five-game season.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
Gee, it's not.
Well,
about...
Lottie frickin' God!
Thanks for stopping by, MAC.
I know.
Five-game season. What's the point?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Gee, does it have anything to do with money?
For the MAC, does it really have that much to do with money?
Well, they can get on TV.
I suppose. Well, then they missed their opportunity. They should have done it before the big conferences weren't playing like the Sun Belt did. I got to say, I've seen...
Who cares?
I've seen more of the Sun Belt. I think... what team is it? There's one team I've seen them play
Arkansas State.
Four times. Yeah, I'm like, why do I know this team so well?
This is just the dumbest season
possibly
ever.
It's Lafayette, Louisville, you know, for the Raging Cajuns.
Okay.
I think I've seen them play every game this year. I'm like... I don't care about this team. Why am I watching this?
Is college football competing with Major League Baseball to have the dumbest season?
Yes, easily. I think college football has won so far.
Although, actually, hockey and basketball are pretty dumb, too. I mean, to just take just take 4 months off and get started, and we'll have another training camp. And
you know what's funny? I was watching that hockey game. It was in overtime. Got totally disinterested and went on to something else. I have no idea who won that game. Do you know?
Oh, Brent? Really? I got really, really interested once they were into double overtime. I couldn't take my eyes off it.
Did Tampa win?
No. Okay. Dallas won. Corey Perry, the guy who Red Wing fans used to hate, he scored the game winner. So,
alrighty.
On to game six, Monday.
Huh.
Okay. Where are they in that series? I have no idea. Seriously.
Three, two.
No idea. 3-2?
Yeah, they could have wrapped it up yesterday, right? Tampa?
That's correct. That would have been a team that Steve Yzerman helped build, and hopefully he can build a team for the Red Wings.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Lakers won in five games, and if the Heat can win game six, they'll be off to the NBA Finals. Oh, we'll see.
Sports.
Yes. I got to tell you, I really got a chuckle this weekend because Charles Barkley and Shaq were talking about the Breonna Taylor thing, and they're saying exactly what I've been thinking and what a lot of people have been thinking is that, hey, this is not like a lot of these other cases. This guy shot at the police. The police will shoot. When you shoot at the police, they will shoot back.
That's a terrible idea.
So anyway, Barkley, it was interesting. I was reading the crap he was getting. People were telling him to shut up, stay in your lane. Yeah. It's really funny how stay in your lane works. If you're not in a lane that I like you in, then you should stay in your lane. But
stay in your lane, bro.
Yeah, that was a pretty ballsy thing to say on that show. Let's see, what's his tweet? Please stop talking about things if you don't have the range. Charles's range is probably generally pretty good. You know?
And isn't Shaq a cop?
Shaq is a cop.
Isn't he an honorary deputy somewhere?
Didn't he go to police school or something, or EMT school?
I have no idea.
I know his stepfather was a cop, I know.
Yeah, and he grew up in a military family.
That's right.
We were talking off the air how much we love Shaq.
I love Shaq, too, and I've always loved Shaq. I've always liked Barkley. But they're both taking a lot of heat, and somebody else is getting a lot of shit, too. But mostly those two. But, you know, honestly, I'm in the course of our conversation on Friday, which I really don't want to repeat, I realized that we haven't really even discussed the fact that Kenneth Walker, the guy that shot at the police, he gets no blame for anything. In fact, he shot and hit a police officer, and he faces no charges. I mean, because of the circumstances.
I don't know. I was reading about the investigation, though, after the aftermath. Boy, does that sound messed up.
Yeah, there's a lot of mess there.
The big question is, where are the body cams? And the police immediately said.
Great question.
Well, they immediately said, hey, these are plainclothes officers. They don't wear body cams. But photos from right before that night, one of them is wearing a body cam on his shoulder. So not all of them were from the detective unit. And then the body cams that they released afterwards show that I guess they're supposed to be separated. Anybody involved is supposed to be separated so they can't corroborate stories.
Okay.
That didn't happen here. The one guy who's being charged was going in and out of the apartment, which it's an active crime scene. I don't know. So there's a lot of questions like that. Is that all just to raise more doubt? I don't know.
I got to tell you, this weekend, I just kind of disconnected from it because I was watching, there was a story about body cam of the police officer that was shot. And he was being, there's body cams. And then they said, no, that's another person who came to the scene. That's his body cam of the officer as he's leaving the scene. That's not any of the officers that were there at the scene. And I'm like, well, why would the guys that come have a body cam and the guys that are there don't have a body? It seems like you would want a body cam of that more than anything.
Well, if you're plain clothes, though, I could see why you wouldn't want to have a body cam.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the more I find out about it, the more frustrated I get, it seems. But I feel like all this anger at these two policemen is misplaced. I think the fuck-up is beyond those guys. And the people who are really fucked up will probably never face any... Well, actually, they do have a new police chief, so that's not necessarily true. And I think they've had a new interim police chief too. But oh my God, what a weekend! Charles Barkley. It was really funny reading. They had a whole string of the tweets of people who were just raging at Charles. And the one thing that kept coming up was to shoot someone sleeping in their bed.
Yeah,
you know, they just walked in. And the funny thing was, they would always say, "Charles doesn't know what he's talking about. They shot a girl sleeping in her bed." It's like, oh my God. How can people who are so upset know so little about it?
Yeah.
It's, well, since 2017, Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,600 people get the help and resources they may not have gotten otherwise. Anyone struggling with a substance use disorder or addiction, whether it be heroin, painkillers, cocaine, alcohol, can go into one of 100 participating police locations and ask for help with no fear of being arrested. Police officer will treat them with compassion and call a volunteer angel. It'll come to the police department, help with paperwork and making calls to get them placed in treatment that day. The first step, you know, if somebody has this idea, the best thing is a whammo, get them in there, and this is one way to do it. The first step doesn't have to be the hardest. There is hope. Go to hopenothandcuffs.com to learn more and make the step towards recovery. Hopenothandcuffs.com. Mm-hmm. And our friends at Zotford and Holly and DealsInIndy.com are doing it again. It's truck month. That means now is a great time to take advantage of incredible savings on Ford trucks like the F-150 and the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked-about truck in Detroit. So get to Zot Ford. Lease a 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest sales staff about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Steve Gabara and the gang at Zot Ford still have the new Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. Go to DealsInIndy.com and check out your options. The Hall Financial Hotline, of course, from the people providing those great refis and mortgages and low rates. And what, do we have anybody for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Not really, no. Sundays are hard, man.
Yeah, Sunday's kind of a goofy day. Well, they're available for you if you click the link on our website, fill out the online form. They will get back to you probably on a Sunday and probably really fast. Or you can call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com. NMLS number 1467435. Low rates mean value. They get them as low as 2.5. A lot of people getting down to 2.9, 3.1, 3.0. If you're 3.7, 3.8, 3.5, you should really look into this and see what Hall Financial can do for you. 248-308-5000 or davidhallmortgage.com/Struan Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was watching Brandon, do you happen to see 2020 Friday night?
2020? No. Which one was...
He sounds very angry about it. I love it.
I do. Well, this is the problem. It's always like, if I watch Dateline, Drew watches 2020. If I watch... That's what it is. It's a trade-off. I look at the information on each one, and I'm like, which one was Drew
going to... Did you actually watch Dateline? Because I don't...
No.
Did you watch 48 Hours?
I think I caught part of 48 Hours.
I thought that was a really dumb story, by the way.
I hope this isn't a mass.
I don't know.
What part?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. I watched a series of different things.
Okay. What did you watch?
Kristen watched Titanic. So that was on for a long time.
How many times have you watched Titanic lately? You guys watch that every other night?
No, this is the first time in a long time. I know it got brought up recently because I was talking about going to see it in the movie theaters quite a bit when I was a kid. But that was on for a while. There was also this terrible movie that was on. Kristen got power of the remote control for most of the weekend.
She always has it, though.
She retained power of the remote.
We've been through this for a lot.
That's not true, but she had it this weekend. She was given special circumstances in a past, and so we watched this really terrible movie called, like, A Nice Girl Like You. She tells me it got a 90 on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was like,
which means nothing.
I started watching it. She fibbed. She completely lied. I think it has an 11 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sounds like a great one.
You know, famous in it. Awful.
They had a list of the 22 lowest Rotten Tomatoes movies. I was like, oh my God, I got to check this out. Okay, hold off on 2020 for a second. Let's see. Mac and Me?
Yeah.
It's about an E.T. or something?
Yeah. Big fan of that movie when I was a kid.
We've talked about that before, the tie-in with McDonald's. If you've never seen, Brandon, will you pull up on the power chair the dance scene at McDonald's for Mac and Me?
This movie sounds so awful.
That's also the movie with whenever Paul Rudd would go on Conan and he'd bring a clip of his new movie. He would show the clip of the alien. Check out this cool dance scene. What? Mac, is this Mac and Me? He is? I don't believe this. In the middle of a McDonald's. Spoiler alert.
That's the alien?
That's the alien in there, yeah.
That spoiler. Bear?
Yeah, well, he's dressed up. Oh, no, so no one knows there's an alien.
So he's like a mascot. They're here. Well, what are we going to do? Wait, is this a lot of product placement going on?
It's incredible product placement.
Jeez.
This is a sweet dance.
Wait, okay, what is this? One of those things where everybody breaks into dance in real life?
It happened.
What do they call that?
It happened at flash mob?
Yeah, flash mob.
Look at the football team's even getting involved.
Wow, what a flash mob this is.
What are the NFL Washington team doing there?
How often did this happen when you were at McDonald's, Mark?
All the time.
Wait, they're all in sync. In sync.
That chick's hot.
There's Ronald boogieing down.
Oh my God, is this movie a McDonald's commercial?
Drew, it's called Mac and Me, yes, pretty much.
Oh, stupid. Wow. Well, that's one of the lowest, 22 lowest Rotten Tomatoes movies. They didn't give the exact scores, but they just said these are the 22 worst. Problem Child.
Oh, really?
Like which flick. Has two sequels. That's Problem Child with John Ritter.
It's a silly movie.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Is Gilbert in it?
Yeah.
What is he doing?
He's a principal.
He's a principal?
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking like Gilbert?
Of course he is.
Look Who's Talking Now.
That's Kirstie and Travolta, right?
Yeah, but the dog is talking.
The dogs.
Yeah. The dogs. DeVito and Diane Keaton are talking.
There's a podcast about really bad movies where they all watch it separately and then come back and talk about it.
Oh, that would be fun.
And I listened to the one they did for that movie, and it's fucking hilarious.
What's this podcast called?
Paul Scheer's in it. Let me look it up real quick.
It reminds me, Carl's supposed to be on this week talking about podcasts. Ballistic.
It's called How Did This Get Made? And it's got Jason Mantzoukas, too.
Oh, I've heard of that show.
So many great drops that we love using.
Ballistic, X versus
Seaver.
Seaver, 2002. You like that movie, too?
I saw
it. Sounds like
it,
Brand's like best of list.
I don't remember one.
I saw this one when it came out. I don't remember anything from it.
Lucy Liu and Antonio Banderas are in it.
Gone from my memory.
Derailed, Van Damme. 2005.
Wow.
Van Damme. You mean Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
You like it?
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Pinocchio.
But anything he's in is tits. Have you ever seen Sudden Death or whatever, where he plays like the security guard that's in the Pittsburgh Penguins arena?
Oh, yeah.
He's got to try to find these assassins like during the game. This is the Stanley Cup fucking finals here.
You sound nervous talking about it.
What happens is the goalie gets hurt and he has to like hide in the goalie gear to avoid getting killed. But the other goalie got hurt. They got to bring him back. And now Jean-Claude Van Damme is on the ice. He is facing NHL players and he makes a tremendous save.
Really?
And saves the game and then gets out, finds the bad guys, breaks their necks. Happy ending.
Which movie was that? Sudden Death.
I think it's called Sudden Death.
Okay. Derailed is the one that got the low score. Pinocchio 2002. I don't know anyone.
Wait, that's the one.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas was in that one.
Is that the Roberto Benigni one where everybody remember when that wacky guy Roberto Benigni won the Oscar
when he was dancing on the chairs?
Yeah, and so they gave him a bunch of money to do his next movie, and I think it was a Pinocchio movie.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, and then he disappeared. No one ever wanted to hear from him again.
This is one where they had to make the live action to like maintain their copyright or something. It was ridiculous, and I did have it on VHS.
Killing Me Softly, which is an erotic thriller with Heather Graham and Joe Fiennes. That's on the list. Listen to this list of stars and tell me this movie. Who would think that this trio would make a really good movie? Constellation, starring Billy Dee Williams, Gabrielle Union, and Zoe Saldana.
That sounds awful.
That just sounds terrible. One Missed Call, 2008. It's another thriller, I believe. I don't think any stars are in it. Homecoming.
The worst movie ever.
Homecoming starring Misha Barton, right in like the OC days, 2010.
Wait a second. I think I might have seen that in the theaters.
The Misha Barton movie?
I think so.
Really? You were so into her on,
knew it!
On the OC. You liked her so much you went to Homecoming?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
You know, they threw her into the Hills reboot just to act like she was friends with all those people to make, we need another star, Misha Barton. And people are like, she's not really our friend. It's bullshit.
She needs money.
Whoa.
Yes, she did.
Oh, you're angry.
And she was so boring. They did not re-sign her. I'm not even sure. Are they having another season of that? That show is so bad.
I didn't see this in the theaters.
Bye.
Really?
It didn't do too. It did, 8.5 million in the theaters, right? It's not too bad.
I don't know what they spent, but
1.5.
The Nutcracker in 3D starring Nathan Lane and Elle Fanning.
God.
That was a bomb. That was a disaster.
I would rather pack my rectum full of M80s and squat over a flaming hibachi than see this movie.
Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star, with Nick Swartzen, Christina Ricci, and Don Johnson.
I'll kind of defend that movie. That's not that
bad. I kind of thought it was funny, too. I have to admit, I did not hate that movie. I think I laughed at parts. I'm not sure if I've ever seen the whole thing. Dark Tide, which is like a Jaws with Halle Berry and Oliver Martinez.
Wait.
They got married.
That's her.
Actually, if it wasn't for this movie, we would have never had, it's a child! Because they met and fell in love on that movie, and then they had a child.
Oh, that makes the movie even worse.
Get away! There's a child. Jesus!
I got it.
There's a child.
That was when she was really, really always.
Can you make me feel?
Doing those flicks where, you know, she was on the beach in a bikini. You know, it was the Bond movie, then this one. There was the Swordfish.
She still looks incredible.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. But I have a feeling she wouldn't be all that. I don't know why. Maybe it's that scene in that you just played.
Oh,
that
Make Me Feel Good.
About Thornton, yeah. Because that would freak out. She's like, make me feel good with all this phlegm.
It did make him freak out. So he's like.
What's going on here? Those going to be.
Can you make me feel good? Can you make me feel good?
She thought it was good. And I found a cup of salt on the arrowhead.
She did that because she thought it was hot.
Yeah.
Ugh. And why were people so desperate to film her child anyway? I mean, that's got to be
the
most wasted
film.
She was just so saying. What?
I think they did not want to film her child. They wanted to film her.
Right.
So if anything, she was using her child as a shield.
Would anyone film her in an airport now? I'm not sure they would. Oliver Martinez, they wouldn't even recognize.
No.
I don't think. And they split up, right?
Oh, yeah. She's got a new dick, ugly. By the way. There was a story last week, the new dong she's been sitting on.
Oh. Where's the story?
Some musician. Oh, I mean, all the tabloid sites.
Oh, what? Is it somebody good?
Will you pull up her new boyfriend? I've never heard of the guy.
Huh.
Can you pull it up on the computer, Brandon, so you can see
Yeah, they're calling it a secret relationship.
Musician?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is he much younger? Is he like a new rapper or something?
Let's put it this way. I think she could have done better.
Okay.
I think he's a guitarist, isn't he? Here, Brandon's pulling it up.
Any additional information beyond what we've received would be helpful.
Doesn't he have a stupid name?
I think. I'm going to guess he's like 35.
No.
Van Hunt. Mike's brother, Van.
He's older than her? God, she's pretty. Wow.
There he is.
Okay.
Van Hunt.
What band is he in?
God dang it.
Is this a street musician? She put money in his hat and she just decided she liked him?
He released his
he's younger.
He released his debut album in 2004 entitled Van Hunt.
I agree, she could do better. He's only 4 years younger than her. It's not a big deal. Anyway, 1,000 Words starring Eddie Murphy and Kerry Washington 2012. Apparently it's just terrible. But
yikes.
The Ridiculous Six, Adam Sandler, Terry Crews, Rob Schneider, Luke Wilson.
Bad.
And yeah, yes. It sounded awful.
That was bad.
Cabin Fever, remake, 2016. I don't know anything about it. The Disappointments Room. What? It's a thriller starring Kate Beckinsale. Would anyone go see a Kate Beckinsale movie now?
I love those werewolf vampire movies she did. Underworld, she did that series. Those were great.
How long ago was that?
I would say early 2000s, mid 2000s. Okay.
I would think the last movie would have been Serendipity, and after that people would have just said, oh, forget it.
Kate, I would have thought it would have been Click.
Oh, she's in Click, that's right.
She's Sandler's.
She's in a lot of movies now that I think about it. Max Steel, starring Andy Garcia and Maria Bello. It's supposed to be the next Transformers, and apparently it's just a bomb.
Max Steel?
Max Steel.
Just make a GoBot movie.
Precious Cargo, another thriller starring Bruce Willis and Mark Paul Gosselaar.
need to say more after Bruce, but then you had Mark Paul Gosselaar. Wow.
It's a fairly recent movie. I mean, who greenlighted that?
What's it called again?
Precious Cargo.
Precious Cargo. Brandon, can you find a trailer?
The name is stupid.
You find a trailer for Precious Cargo. Does it have a synopsis of it?
No. Well, it did, but I just saw Bruce Willis and Mark Paul Gosselaar, and I thought, how ridiculous.
This is great.
Oh, is this the trailer?
Jack. What can I do for you, Eddie? Say hi, sweetheart.
Just run, Jack.
Hey, please. Karen said you were the best.
They should have killed her right after
Michelangelo,
she said that.
I'm offering you a trade. What's the job?
Bruce Willis looks
ridiculous. 3 million in gems on this truck?
Armored car.
Well, man, I'm pulled in. This is enticing.
Let's run through this. Nick, stop the truck.
Hey, buddy, you might want to duck.
I'm Jim Harbaugh.
What a cool name.
This is so dumb. I might want to watch it.
Bad guys.
Drew, we got one on the right.
I bet you something goes wrong in the perfect heist.
Whoa.
Jack!
Better go.
Three.
Whoa. We had a deal.
Two.
Sometimes things just don't work out.
One.
He's bad.
Whoa!
Let's go.
Someone tried to take out Bruce Willis.
Hey, bust his ass, officer!
I couldn't begin to tell you what this movie's about.
It's about Precious Cargo. I think that's his wife.
Oh.
I'm doing a job that I planned. That would put you and your merry band of misfits down.
This is outrageous criminal activity.
They lost me at merry band
don't
of misfits.
Yourself. It's always personal.
Ooh, there's a jet ski scene.
Those have automatic weapons.
It says
oh, they shot a guy on a jet ski.
It has every bad trope of an action movie, doesn't it?
Pretty much.
The description is, Eddie Filosa convinces crime boss Jack, no name, Jack and his gang to steal $30 million in diamonds from another crime gang in trade for a woman.
Hmm.
So you think
I hope Screech makes the
ooh,
cameo.
There's lots of boat shooting scenes.
Stop. All this to get shot up here on this roof, that's your plan?
Bang.
What you have just done is illegal, and in this state, if convicted, you could be fined up to $5,000 or spend 6 months in a correctional facility.
Then there's a murder mystery called Dark Crimes with Jim Carrey. They said Jim Carrey's not that bad, but the movie's terrible.
Huh.
Gotti, starring Travolta.
Yeah.
And London Field, starring Amber Heard, Billy Bob Thornton, Theo James, and Jim Sturgis. That's the last one.
Huh.
Wow.
It sounds like a pretty horrible list, because I don't even recognize names for about half of them.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'd say Mac and Me was on top of that list.
When there's a new movie and we don't remember it, that's pretty bad.
I didn't know. I swear I don't remember the Ridiculous Six coming on. That's Sandler and all these people?
It's so bad. That's the one I've been just ranting about for years because that Tyler Lautner guy, the dude that was werewolves.
He's one of the six.
Yes, he's one of the six, and he was in Twilight. Well, he just... He ruins this entire movie. He is so god-awful. He plays a character. I never want to see him in a movie again. In fact, I think it ruined his career.
Wow. You are really pissed at him.
Have you seen the flick? Or have you seen that dude since that flick?
No.
I don't. I think I remember him from what he originally did with all those people. What was that called?
The
Twilight?
Twilight, yeah. But no, I would never go to see him in anything else.
By the way, Precious Cargo cost $10.5 million to make. It grossed just over $500,000.
Bruce Willis can't bring in more than $500,000 now?
Apparently not.
Oh, my God. You know, I couldn't get over that story that Kevin Smith told about what a fucking asshole he was.
Are you really surprised?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Really? I guess I didn't... I don't know. I mean, not that I would never think Bruce Willis could be a jerk, but... You know, to Kevin, he's going to be in a fairly independent, you know, low-budget movie, probably to do something good.
Yeah.
And then he just shows up and acts like a complete prick. I mean, he was horrible.
Did you see the email?
I mean, he didn't want to do continuity scenes.
Did you see the email we got from a listener who was an intern for Conan, and he rated the
celebrities?
Oh,
that was a great email.
Yeah, he rated the celebrities best and worst, top five.
Oh.
I meant
to send that to you because we also got another person that sent one in, too, with like Marilyn Manson.
Hold on. Let me do this first because that's exciting. I want to have
full attention
on this. Water is everywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind your fridge, under your dishwasher, or maybe a foot in the basement. Maybe there's mold left over when it's gone. Maybe these are a lot of reasons to call Emergency Response Services Incorporated. 877-JOB-DONE. Put that on the fridge. Or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. And again, storm damage, fire damage. Or COVID disinfecting, if you need something like that for work vehicles or your workplace or any place, call 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And don't forget, Dr. Yaldo's back.
Yeah.
So many people have taken advantage of the reopening of doctor's offices to get the life-changing eye surgeries they'd had to postpone. And in fact, Dr. Yaldo's offering $1,500 off the regular price if you want to get LASIK or if you want to get multifocal lens replacements. Be sure to mention our names. We'll have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And, of course, LASIK. Another advantage is getting rid of glasses and contacts and reading glasses and all that crap. The compartments you put them in and the stuff you put in there, all that gross stuff. Wouldn't it be nice to go without it? Get a free evaluation. Call 1-800-398-EYES or go to yelloweyecenter.com. Tell them about the Drew and Mike discount. So there you go. What, this guy was interned for Conan?
It's a really long email, but it's well worth it.
I think it was pretty good.
Wow. In the early mid-2000s, New York, New York, I interned for Late Night with Conan O'Brien. Ooh! And later I worked for NBC for a couple years after college. It was the music intern, which meant I was the only intern in the studio. The rest were in the office. Worked directly under Max Weinberg, biggest dickhead, and was gone for most of my tenure, but then used me for free moving services at a house. What? Why would Max Weinberg do that? I mean, that's incredible.
We've heard lots of stories about what an ass Max Weinberg is. From, God, I'm trying to think of who else, who it was that told us that. From his Bruce stuff.
Yeah, I think there was stuff. I think there was some stuff that oddly veiled stuff in Bruce's book.
Wait a sec. Didn't he get in a fight with somebody we talked to?
Was another drummer?
I think it was. Gorman. Was it Gorman?
Oh, what did he say?
Did Gorman not have nice things to say about Weinberg?
That's easily.
I think that's who it was.
Figured out.
Yeah.
Well, help him move? Max Weinberg wouldn't hire a moving company? Really?
Hey, why would he? At interest.
That's so lame.
Steve Gorman did say that Max Weinberg is like the biggest a-hole. He's a grumpy old dude. He went out of his way to be rude. So, yeah, it definitely was Gorman.
You know, I won't even let being old be an excuse for Max Weinberg. That's just pathetic.
Yep, that's pretty sad.
And more often directly, let's see. Okay, so I worked directly under Max Weinberg, biggest dickhead. More often directly under Jimmy Vivino of Fab Faux fame and the coolest guy. I don't know, unfortunately, he's the guitarist that
you would see often.
Oh, okay. My job is to get the house band set up with sheet music every day, and more importantly, to coordinate with the guest band on their arrival and give them the rundown. I had to meet the guest band on the street outside of 30 Rock, bring them up through security, and kind of brief them on the schedule. So I basically met every musical act for about 5 months. Ooh!
It's pretty cool. That's a cool gig. Yeah.
Cut to a couple years later when I was hired there.
Kind of a big deal.
I was essentially the production assistant to the segment producers, and I was doing the exact same thing as my internship, but there with the regular guests. Therefore, I met every regular guest that came to the show. Ooh! Here's my rank list of good and bad interactions. Good. Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20, LOL.
Wow.
That's funny. I mean,
What did that get for Rob?
Doesn't that just change so many things, though, when you find out that somebody who's truly great and uniquely talented is a total asshole, and then when somebody who isn't so talented is really nice? I mean, it just changes so many things. Reason he makes a top spot is I accidentally backed into him really hard and stepped on his shoes, almost knocking him over like a violent crash. It was so cool to me. Don't worry about it, man. You're a busy guy. I'll stay out of your way. That stuck with me, and that his wife was ridiculously hot in person. Well, you know, why is it that I can never forget that Chuck Norris leaned over and picked our banner up when it fell down and put it up? I thought that was like, what?
It's so normal you didn't expect it, though.
Yeah, it shocked me. Adam Sandler, not much interaction because he had so many friends in the building, but he actually remembered my name and thanked me a couple times for the help that day. Oh, that's nice.
That's all it takes, huh?
David Bowie, not much interaction at all, but he's very sweet. Actually signed an autograph to my then-girlfriend's family as we were heading down in the elevator. A fireable offense, by the way, but I took the chance.
I love that he took the chance. By the way, I wonder, Phil, if you're listening, I wonder if you're upset that you didn't get the autograph and that your then-girlfriend's family did.
He maybe didn't like him. He didn't care for Bowie.
Oh, that's true.
But why would you risk your job if you didn't like him? Yeah. Well, he probably got one for himself, too. He's just not pointing it out. It was such a violation. Blues Traveler, Flaming Lips, Ty. These are the guys I hung out with the most. John Popper from Blues Traveler wanted me to take a shot with them, and the Flaming Lips petitioned for me to join them during their live performance in one of their costumes. This was quickly shot down by my boss.
That's cool, though.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Dude looked me right in the eye every time he talked to me. Seemed genuinely like a nice guy. Shook my hand. Thanked me when he left. Side note, also met the Big Show. Big Show?
Yeah, Big Show.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was super nice, but I shook his hand. It was like a baby shaking a normal man's hand. I couldn't even concentrate as I was trying to regrip.
Do you remember having The Rock in studio?
Yes.
I to this day, have said he's the nicest guy celebrity-wise, that we've ever had in.
Has anyone
Shut
ever,
up, bitch!
Anyone ever said anything bad about The Rock?
Yeah, the guy's perfect.
Well, they will today after he endorsed.
Oh, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Oh, man, come on. It's The Rock, though. He's the best.
Honorable mention, George Foreman. Super sweet guy. Gave me a signed copy of his kid's book. His kid's book? without asking for one. Only reason he doesn't make the list is that he asked me to help him carry a bag or something on the way to a restaurant he was headed to after the show. I thought it'd be right outside of Rockefeller Center or something. It was like 6 blocks away. So I had to lug this bag with George Foreman and a few of his people through the streets of New York. Meanwhile, my boss is calling my phone wondering what the hell happened. By the time I got back, everyone was gone.
Oh, that's great. That's really funny.
Oh, this is a great synopsis. My friend, I guess I shouldn't mention your name.
I already mentioned his first name.
Okay. Bad, Al Franken, without a doubt, my worst celebrity interaction. It started when he didn't want to stop at security on the first floor. I guess he thought he was NBC royalty and didn't need to check in. Neither I nor the security guard working the check-in desk had the authority to waive the protocols. Instead of just going through the two-minute check-in, he called someone he knew at SNL and had them come down.
Oh, that sucks.
You dick!
You know, I've heard a few kind of crappy things about Al Franken before the whole squeezing women's butts thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound like he sounds like he's pretty into himself. I also think that anybody who would go from truly being an entertainer to politics, I feel like there's something really wrong with them.
Well, a big ego, right? Those two big ego gigs.
I cannot imagine doing what someone like Al Franken does and then going, I want to go into politics.
Yeah.
Just being around the people you have to be around would make me puke.
Yeah, but he thinks he knows better than everybody, so.
So 10 minutes later, they come down, and guess what? He still had to check in. So then we're all heading up to the studios in an incredibly awkward elevator ride. He won't even listen to me about the production schedule, etc. We get to the sixth floor. He still won't listen to anything I'm saying. He asks for the segment producer, who comes down several floors to greet him. He then tells the segment producer that he's pissed off because of the security thing, and he has no idea what's going on for the taping.
Oh, wow.
I was fuming. Lastly, basically inferred I was stupid after the segment producer told him that I could help him when he's not there.
What? So he's just looking for someone to blame.
Paraphrasing, oh, that'll be great, dick. The only thing calming me down was the stage manager telling me to not to sweat it because no one likes Franken. Ellen Barkin.
Wow.
Oh, is that funny?
That
is so funny.
Ellen Barkin. What a random person to be one of the worst celebrity interactions.
Funny how that goes. A very close runner-up. She was fine at first, but she kept asking me about the physical setup of the studio and some technical things about the cameras and lighting. I presume she was worried about her appearance. That stuff was not my area of expertise at all, so I couldn't really give her a clear answer. She then raises her voice almost to the point of yelling, can you get someone who knows what the hell they're talking about? And pretty much didn't say a word to me after that. I was pretty embarrassed. I wanted to yell at her, you can get a doggy style, you can get laying on your side.
You can get a doggy style, you can get laying on your side. Those are your only choices.
This is my house, and I get to say, got it. Grateful Dead, oh no. Well, at the time, they were called the Other Ones. Okay, so Jerry's not involved. In fairness, it was just Mickey Hart. Weir and Lesh were kind of just aloof.
That seems on brand.
Makes total sense. He was a downright dick. Long story short, I didn't want to wait for any schedule and kept walking right past me when I attempt to ask him a question. Vin Diesel. Oh, Vin Diesel got a song out, right?
Yeah, it's so great.
Why does Vin Diesel have a song?
Because Vin Diesel has too much money, and so he can just make a song.
Has he ever made a song
before?
Have
you heard this yet, by the way?
No, I have not. I meant to.
And I heard another show just ripping it apart.
Wait, has he ever put music out?
We've seen him singing like on his Instagram before, and it was equally as terrible. But listen to how overproduced this is. Can you even understand what he's saying?
No,
I know. It's so auto-tuned.
It's terrible.
Brandon, the guy he is doing this song with, is this a big producer that we don't know? Do you have any idea?
I don't. Kygo?
Is that? I mean, I wonder if does Vin Diesel owe this guy a favor?
And
if he did, he's really not paying it.
I can't believe Vin Diesel put his name on a song if he wasn't into it. I mean, because that's too embarrassing. He has to think he's good.
Yeah.
I can't believe there aren't more thumbs down on this. Oh my God, is that awful? That
was terrible.
Vin Diesel's not even a big deal anymore.
Vin, I can't get over. I mean, I knew this somehow intuitively down there somewhere, but I just think I tried to avoid thinking about it. I can't believe how many big movies he's been in.
Oh, my God. His net worth is... It's got to be ridiculous.
It's crazy. I know. It's like, I mean, that guy...
His films easily have over $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
And that used to only be just be Harrison Ford for a long time.
I just don't... I think he's just, like, generic man. He's really just...
But now you got... He's got successful, like, clustered... Obviously, The Fast and the Furious, there's a billion of those movies, but the Triple X's were surprisingly successful. He's in Marvel, you know, I Am Groot. So even though all he does is say one word, he's still a part of that massive cast. He was in Saving Ryan's Privates, and, you know...
Can someone explain to me, though, what he does that's so special? Because he's buff?
He's in
the
every,
Riddick movies were tits?
He's an everyman load. Kind of, right? He's
yeah, I think he's loadish.
He's kind of black. He's kind of white. He's bald.
Kind of the tough guy you could see in any town.
Kind of tough, yeah. I thought he was that him in the... Was he in a
he's
kid's
a generic
movie?
Guy. He's a generic guy.
Was he in a kid's movie? Was he the pacifier or was that The Rock? Yeah. It was him, the pacifier. By the way, celebrity net worth only has him at $225 million, which I think is...
I'm surprised.
It's got to be way more than
Well, that makes me happy because I think he could lose $225 million possibly. Yeah,
and nobody's name is Diesel, by the way.
That's ridiculous.
His real name is Mark Sinclair.
Dube is just a really weird douche. He ordered a ton of food from different places. So give him a call up. That's really
annoying. Hi, Mark.
I kept having to call up to the intern office to have him go on another run. And then he made a huge mess. He was the exact opposite of The Rock, and also The Rock was enormous. I was bigger than Diesel.
What? Really?
Really wanted to talk back to him, but I didn't.
What an asshole thing to do. Food for multiple. Now I'm curious, how big is Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel's 6 foot.
Oh.
He says I was bigger than Diesel, so we don't know how tall Philip is.
Hmm. Well, he's in between 6 and 6'5", because The Rock is 6'5".
Pamela Anderson, last but not least, she might have been higher on the list, but I didn't have a ton of direct contact with her, which was the problem to begin with. She showed up 45 minutes later than she was supposed to.
Sounds about right.
I was waiting down by the street, and I was on the phone with her manager, urging them to please hurry. I kept getting calls from producers asking, where the hell are they? So she eventually shows up. She has about twice as many people with her as they initially reported.
Ugh.
So I have no credentials for half of them. Now we're really crunched for time. The show is basically being held up by this. I had to handle a security thing for everyone else. We sent Pam up first so she'd get briefed for the show. Only greeted her, spoke to her briefly, but she had nothing resembling an apology. She was in full diva mode. Remind you, this is 2005, so she was well past her diva prime, which made this more annoying. I know. I keep seeing... Was it her 52nd birthday recently? 52?
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, I think it was. And she had something of her nude lying down on a bed, like, great, on her stomach. And cool. It's like, really?
What if her son, Brandon, sees that? That's a mother.
Pam, you're not the hottest chick anymore. I mean, you're not even in the top million.
No. I mean, well, maybe for her age bracket, she's up there still.
I just would think she would want to sort of seek something else. I mean, what happens when you're 70?
Well, the problem is she's lost a lot of money.
Yeah, I know.
So,
not surprisingly.
She's got to do whatever she can to get, you know, garner any kind of attention.
Honorable mention, Robin Williams. This wasn't really bad, just very uncomfortable. He seemed like a nice guy with some of the very famous guests. We would take them down through the freight elevator into the garage if they felt they were going to be swarmed outside the building. So he did this with Robin, but the freight elevator wouldn't move. We waited for 10 or 15 minutes for tech support, just me and Robin and a few of his people. They spoke very softly and honestly, not much at all. It was just strange. They were just waiting in silence. I stood there by the button panel, kind of nodded every once in a while. Oh, man, it's so awkward.
It's very, very awkward.
Oh, man. Also, not just NBC related, but one time I was at JFK International Airport very early in the morning, maybe 5:30 a.m. Not too many people around at my gate, but one of them was Vladi Divac.
Oh, cool.
I didn't make a big scene at all. He was standing by himself off the side of the gate. I politely asked if I get a picture with him. Not sure why. It's not really my style. He just said, no. No explanation, nope. Just no. I walked away deflated. When I was a young lad, I waited at Tiger Stadium for an autograph from Ricky Henderson, but he didn't stop for anyone. I guess Mom Do Knows Best. Have a good show.
I remember trying to get an autograph from Ricky.
I just forwarded you an email, too, that another listener had sent us regarding his run-ins while working at some hotels. So.
Oh, you just forwarded it to me?
Yeah.
God, those are great.
Why was it sent to you?
Yeah, can
you I think it was originally sent to you. I just
really?
Ignored
I missed it.
Am I not allowed to
see
it?
I don't ignore stuff like that.
Am I on the list? Mark, am I not allowed to see it?
Mark's the one who wasn't allowed to see it, I guess. I'll forward it to you now, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, Brush with Celebrity Story. Oh, I did see this. Was this over the weekend? Yeah, it was Friday. Yeah. Brush with Celebrity Stories are fabulous.
Wonderful.
I think the smaller they are, sometimes the better they are, just because it gets so ridiculous. What everyone notices when you're near someone famous is just really funny. Okay.
A humongous part about being a celebrity is cashing in on it, making shitloads of money, having expensive, luxurious things. That way, in case one day you're not famous, you can still be rich as hell and better than everyone around you.
Do we still have Richard Simmons saying, toss my salad?
You know what? I just got that from Dan Evans, who
nice job, Dan.
It. Hell yeah.
Okay, first story, 1997. I was working as a night auditor manager at the Radisson Hotel Lansing one night. Richard Simmons had checked in earlier for a women's health convention the next day at the Lansing Center Convention Hall. Around 3 a.m., a woman came into the front desk and asked me if Richard Simmons was staying at the hotel. I told her I can't give out the identity of guests for security purposes. She then asked if she could sit on the lobby couches and wait around. I said, sure. Around 5 a.m., the elevator doors opened up, and bounding out came a greased-up, shiny Richard Simmons, completing his signature tank top, short shorts, and all-white tennis shoes with white socks. He waved at me as if to say, toodles, and proceeded to prance around the lobby looking to see who was around. He peered at the couches in the corner and saw the woman. He immediately bounced over to her, sat down next to her, and struck up a conversation for 15 minutes. Then a limo pulled up to the front doors. He sprung up from the couch, walked toward the sliding doors. He turned back to the woman, gave her the come hither look, and waved her to follow him.
Hey!
Toss my salad.
And into the limo, him and she went. He was on his way to a local radio station to plug his recently released Healthy Cookbook and Women's Convention.
Wait, do you think Richard got a blowjob on the way to the radio station?
I don't know.
Why not? He's not gay.
Second story, I was working.
He's transitioning, isn't he? Remember that? He got in a lot of trouble, allegedly. Didn't he sue someone, allegedly?
Yeah.
He said, you know, so.
Second story, I was working in 1995 at the Radisson Plaza Hotel Kalamazoo as a valet shuttle van driver. Marilyn Manson and band bus pulled up to the hotel early afternoon, checked in. Marilyn Manson was just getting famous for their first album, Portrait of an American Family, tour that was playing Kalamazoo State Theater that night. He came off the bus wearing ripped-up jeans and a patchy fur coat. Like sections of fur were missing on purpose.
Okay. Don't wear that outfit again.
Sounds silly. About 30 minutes after they checked in, he and the band member Twiggy came to the valet desk and asked for a ride to the mall and a laundromat. I took them in the shuttle to the closest laundromat where they dropped off a bag of clothes and then took them to the Crossroads Mall. They were all done up in their concert makeup. Not the full freaky version yet. They were very quiet the entire time. I had the radio on to a Kalamazoo rock station where Silverchair song that Brandon loved, Tomorrow, was playing. I proceeded to try and strike up a conversation about how terrible a song it was. Both just sat in their van seats deadpan.
Oh.
I suspect they were both high. I tried again to ask how the tour was going, and then I listened to their album. I actually did. And then a commercial came on the radio promoting the concert that night. They still sat there completely silent. After about 20 minutes, I dropped them off at the mall entrance to give them a business card with a hotel phone number on and said to call us when you ride back. No idea how they got back to the hotel. Late at night after the show, they got off the tour bus, came to the hotel. The drummer came over to me, the valet, and handed me 2 Sam Adams beers and said, enjoy.
What a nice payment.
That
nice
makes
tip.
Up for something.
That's a nice tip.
Oh, man, that's weird.
That's funny.
That is just weird.
Great stories.
Yeah, there's just, again, there's no story too small to share. With celebrity.
Have you ever looked at Pam Anderson's Instagram? It is nothing but pictures of herself trying to look hot.
You know, I swear, I see this
selfie
all the time with these influencers and people too who just maybe they might even have just a couple thousand people or friends, and it's still all selfies and look how hot I am and look at me from this angle, that angle. And then when you get down to Facebook, you'll find people who are, I don't know, like, I mean, certainly past their prime, I mean, in their 40s or maybe early 50s or late 30s, and it's like selfie, 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 selfie. Look at my face, look at my face, look at my face. I just don't know why.
Social media and Twitter is what's destroying this country anyway.
I would think they would realize how narcissistic it looks just to like have the page come up with, you know, 16 pictures of the same face.
Yeah.
Especially when they have kids and stuff, and it's like, wait a second. Don't you have something else?
Are you saying you'd rather see their kids?
No, I'm saying that I would think they would rather I see their kids than have me think they're just completely...
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't understand.
But we see this with, like, Poroskova as well and with Pamela. What it seems like is...
Oh, yeah. No,
these women are now the 13-year-old girls who are really struggling with the likes and stuff like
that.
And,
you know, that's a good way to put it, Brandon. It's really sad. Isn't it sad?
Yes.
That Pam Anderson doesn't think there's something more that she can give the world than her, you know, than her body when she's 52 fucking years old?
Yeah.
And she's still, I think she still looks good. I mean, I'm not saying she's not, you know, beautiful. And
I guess,
like my body.
I guess we all just expected more out of Pam by now.
I don't know why. I don't know why I would have.
Well, you would just hope you could age gracefully, right?
She is hoping for a, what is that, home improvement reboot with, she can go get back on Tool Time with Tim Allen. And
well, Paulina Poroskova, that story is just also very strange. I mean, when she announced that she was getting divorced from Rick Ocasek, it's like, well, that's weird. They've been married a long time. But, you know, it happens. No big deal. Then the next year, he's gets in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and there she is cheering like, oh, my God, I love you so much. And he was very, I don't know what happened with those two, but he was obviously extremely bitter. Because
I don't know, you know, it happened.
he was very sick, and I think he felt like she just didn't want to deal with it or something. So he just cut her out of everything.
I've seen girls do that.
Whatever he could cut her out of. I mean, I don't think he could
divorce.
Technically, cut her out of everything, and then she starts claiming that I give all my money to him.
Yeah, right.
That's
just.
I just.
Did she have that much money?
Well, remember when she was such a hot model?
Yeah, and cover of SI. You know, she was gorgeous. Hey,
I get paid $10,000 an hour.
Ugh.
I mean, they do. They get paid crazy money, but it doesn't last very long.
I've seen more of her since he dumped her ass than I had probably the previous 30 years.
Yeah.
I agree. She just sort of faded out of modeling and then was like, you know, I'm married with a gangster. I'm really happy. We'll come again. It's like, no, I'm not married. I don't want to get his money either. This is crazy. So look how high I am again. Look how high I am again.
You get a ling on your side. Those are your only choices.
That's all you get, Poroskova.
No, you're not that hot again. You're not.
Maybe she went in and wanted to lay a couple of guys and got out of hand. But I don't know, you know.
That's why he dumped her. Now she's stuck posting pictures on Instagram every day. Got out of hand.
Oh, boy. Okay. So all that put off 2020, but that's okay because, boy, that was funny.
Yeah, thanks for not watching 2020, Brandon, to take us down this road.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anytime.
I know a lot of people watch 2020. Yeah. You know, it's weird. We used to have all those shows that you sort of knew a lot of people watched.
There's now too many shows now.
We don't. Mm-hmm. But I think 2020 still does really well. So anyway, it was a story about this registered nurse who helped people with fertility. And her husband went missing. And it became this big story because eventually a guy is fishing in the Chesapeake Bay. She lives in Trentwood, New Jersey, I think. Mm-hmm. And somebody's fishing in Chesapeake Bay, and there's a suitcase. All of a sudden, what? Wait, there's a suitcase. And he's got a couple kids, and they're like, what's in this suitcase? What's in the suitcase?
It's treasure.
So they pull the suitcase up, open it up, and it's a couple human legs.
Oh, yeah. So if I found that, part of me would just be like zipping it back up and throw it back in the water.
Yeah, they did the right thing.
Yeah, you got to give it up to them, I suppose, for taking it and reporting it.
And then
I would like to think I would do that and not just pretend I didn't see it. But who am I fooling?
That's a tough one. I mean, oh my God, how gross. But, you know, people seem to always report that. I mean, I can't imagine many people really just my God, a human head, and don't say anything.
I'm mainly joking. But I think part of me actually would go, and push it back by accident and go, I should probably go get that.
I wouldn't want it in my boat. But then two matching Kenneth Cole suitcases wash up somewhere, and, there's the head, there's the torso, and, you know, this whole person. And the face is incredibly bloated. Whoa. So what they do is I think they made a sketch of the face, and the sketch, knowing that it was bloated by the, I guess that's the salt water in Chesapeake Bay, isn't that connected to the
I think? Think so, yeah.
Well, anyway, I guess it bloated the hell out of the head.
Soak it in salt water and see if it plumps up.
Must be salt water.
So the sketch they made, the head was actually fatter than the guy's head who it was.
That sucks for that
guy. They still didn't take out all the bloat, but it looked enough like him that someone he knew in Virginia, because he knew people in Virginia, said, oh, there's this guy missing from New Jersey who's a friend of mine. That looks like his head.
Wow.
And so, sure enough, they tested. It's him.
The guy I know.
It's him. And what happened was he and his wife, oh, the story's so weird. They were closing on a house in Virginia. They were moving to Virginia. He'd always wanted to move her to Virginia for some reason. And they bought a $500,000 house in, I think it was in the Chesapeake area or somewhere around there, Norfolk or mm-hmm. somewhere on the coast. And the weird thing is, when they signed on the dotted line to buy the house, she was having an affair with one of the fertility doctors.
Ooh. I've seen girls do this.
And they have all these text messages, and they, you know.
Who would want to put their penis in a coworker?
And after, you know, doing their homework, they find out that, oh, these people were really, really in love. I mean, they
it's
really.
Not a love affair. It's, the object is that you're both getting your rocks off.
He was going to leave his wife and his kids, and she was going to leave with her kids, and they really, really had every plan in the world to be together. And so it's like, why did she close on this house?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it was just really strange.
Kind of read the tea leaves as to where this is going. So why is he dead?
Well, yeah, there you go. Okay. So she says. This is, you know, again, a couple days after they close on the house, he goes missing. And she says, oh, we had a big fight. I told him I was in love with this other man. And, well, we got in this big fight, and he left.
Being honest.
And he hit me. He hit me with an open hand. He slapped me, and he roughed me up, and he said all these mean things to me. And I went and locked myself in the bathroom with my children, and he...
He said all these mean things to me.
And I just heard him going up and down the stairs yelling unthinkably horrible things. And I just told him to stop. Just stop. But he kept going up and down, gathering his things, and then he just took off. Hmm. And so, weird, she doesn't report him missing for a month.
Slut.
Well, I mean, she didn't want to hear any more terrible things.
So eventually, you know.
I thought she figured he'd cool down and come back after a month.
That's what she said.
Oh, really?
Well, something to that effect. She said she didn't want to see him anymore. She didn't want to ever see him again.
Well,
she didn't
win-win. Care okay, again. Cool. Yeah, that makes total logical sense.
But he does
have kids, but...
He has a couple sisters and people who start wondering, well, where is he? And she says, oh, he left, and we're going to fight. He hit me, and he was mean to me, and he said mean things, and blah, blah, blah. And so they report him missing. And, his car is missing, too. And so as they start digging in this, and then when he's found, chopped up, it's like, oh, well, gee, who had motive to kill him? And, of course, they always look at the spouse. And, oh, the spouse was in love with his doctor, madly in love with his doctor, in fact. And 2 days before he went missing, she had gotten a prescription for, what's it for? Oh, chloral hydrate, which will... Take you
knock
down.
You out.
Yeah, knock you out. And she forged her doctor boyfriend's name.
Oh, boy.
It's not his signature.
Did they interview him? Is he involved in this? The boy doctor?
No, he's not.
Okay. So
she stole a script pad from him, apparently, and did that.
He must have been.
I was going to say.
What?
Well, he is local.
Doctor is it Dr. Miller?
Yes, very local.
He's local. Really? Really?
Well, he didn't do anything other than have a
fertility business.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't know where he's from. He was on 2020 Friday night. It's not my fault.
He's in the TV. What do you mean he's from here? It's just the person on TV.
No, I mean, honestly.
Well, what did he do wrong other than have the affair?
Well,
it's not his fault. Okay. He didn't murder him.
This is the weird part of the story. And I'm sorry that he's local because I'm sure he would love to get away from this thing. But it was on fucking 2020. I mean,
he was talking to
him. I can't really change that. I mean, a lot of people saw it.
What was the weird thing?
Well, how do I get to this?
When he went missing, he's like, I don't really want to leave my wife. Did he say that?
I think he had reservations. I think his reservation became a lot bigger after, you know, after finding out a few more things.
Yeah.
Like that the suitcase set belonged to her. You know, it was the same kind of luggage. I think she had a set of Kenneth Cole. There was a trash bag in the luggage that matched the trash bags that she had, which became a disputed thing. Because here's why the story was on 2020. This is the part that sort of pissed me off, actually. There's a podcast that is trying to free her, claiming that there's claiming that there's some things in this trial that it might not be her. There's enough reasonable doubt. And, you know, there are a lot of people.
Knock it off, podcast.
I know. That's exactly what I said.
Sick of it.
You know, when you have the guy at AGT that was in prison 37 years for a crime he didn't commit, I mean, I really think it's great that all these sleuths are out there, whether it's through a podcast or they're, you know, like Dershowitz, where they look at cold cases.
I was going to say, the Innocence Project, those are lawyers. I mean, those are lawyers.
The great sleuth.
A lot of them are young lawyers just out of law school, but they're doing a lot of hard work. A podcast is just, they raise any doubt, even if it's unreasonable doubt.
This doubt.
If it's just regular doubt. It doesn't mean it's, you know.
This doubt was, reasonable. In my opinion, not much doubt. I just thought it was a waste of resources. They could probably find 20 better cases, I thought. I mean, you know, maybe other people feel differently. Anyway, what other evidence there was? Oh, well, as far as her being at the Chesapeake, because they felt that the suitcases were probably dropped off this rest area off the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Mm-hmm. There's a pull off point, and they felt that they were probably dropped off there. And they were trying to figure out, well, when did she go there? Well, her phone was in Delaware one day, and I think that's how they pinged her, and I think it was turned off, and they assumed that she could have driven straight down to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge from there. And so they assumed, well, that must have been. And so, well, what are we doing? What are we doing in Delaware today? Oh, shopping. Well, this is like a few days after, like 4 days after her husband's missing.
So you're shopping.
You're shopping in Delaware. It just seemed a little, a little off.
Well, we all grieve differently.
Then there was a package sent to prosecutors that there's a video camera that shows her going to buy the postage with the particular package. It looks an awful lot like her. Then his car, which is in Atlantic City. Well, what do you know? Her Pathfinder, I think it's a day or 2 days after the murder, is the Easy Pass was used on the turnpike to get to Atlantic City.
Small world.
So she said that she just assumed he was in Atlantic City. In fact, when the cops talked to her the month later, they didn't know.
She went to Atlantic City to try and find him?
Close.
Come on.
They said, well, God, where do you think he would be? And she said, oh, I bet you'd find his car in Atlantic City because he loves to gamble. He had a gambling problem, I guess, at times. Okay. Not the worst gambling problem, but he liked to gamble more than she liked him to gamble.
I'll allow that lie. That's almost a good lie by her.
So they go to Atlantic City, and then, what do you know? His car is there. And she claimed that, the Easy Pass. Yeah, I
got to say, I would stay away from a casino if I murdered someone. There's a lot of surveillance around casinos in general, even the parking lots.
Well, they saw someone going to his car pulling his car in somewhere. And the main point was, though, that she said, I used my Easy Pass. I went to Atlantic City because I was so angry at him. I wanted to move his car to somewhere that he couldn't find it. So she said that she moved it, like, you know, blocks away so he couldn't find it, just to fuck with him.
What a ridiculous lie.
I thought it was absolutely absurd. And then there was a neighbor who heard gunshots and a power saw.
Oh, God.
So, you know, there were a lot of things that would have been awfully hard to get around. I mean, it was a lot of coincidences, but it was a whole lot of coincidences. They just didn't have, the only thing they had forensically was, this is weird. They had, what did they call them? They were pieces of his flesh, like sawdust, on the floor of
flesh dust.
Yeah, flesh dust, I guess, on the floor of I think it was her car.
Oh wow,
his car, whichever car she used. Yeah, and so that was like, ugh.
Maybe he just had dry skin.
No, it was
when he was in her car.
Comes the meat wagon.
It would appear to be from the sawing of his body.
Oh, it's crazy.
There's some pieces that just sort of fell off or something.
Yeah, actually cut. Yeah.
Came off of her. I don't know how many pieces there were, but there were enough that it was highly suspicious. So, anyway, should I just leave the doctor part?
No, because I want to.
How do you know the doctor so well, Brandon?
Yeah, what are you, best friends?
You have a fertility issue?
No, what happened was I... you know, I'm obviously doing a little bit of research on this while you're discussing it, and it just kind of popped up, and I wanted to see where he is today, and there's big articles about it, and very local.
So he moved to the area probably to get away from the damn thing, and then they put it on 2020 because this stupid podcast! He's probably so pissed at that podcast.
I'm pissed at the podcast with him.
Well,
I'm also kind of pissed along the same lines watching. Are you done with 2020 before I.
There's just a couple things.
Okay, go ahead.
Unless I leave out the couple things about the doctor.
No, because I definitely want to hear that. But I was going to talk about a similar kind of thing that's trying to rewrite history.
Oh, okay. I'll just wrap it up. It's just a couple quick things. It turns out she acts as if she's angry with him and doesn't want to ever see him again.
Yeah.
After murdering her husband.
Oh, how lucky.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty convenient. And the reason is because the police at one point said, hey, look, you know, she's got your prescription pad. There's this. We need your help. And if you don't help us, then we're starting to think that maybe you have something to do with this.
Yeah.
And so he said, well, I'll help. So they had him make a call with the police trying to get certain things out of her. And she really didn't give anything up. She just was like, no, I've told you everything. There's nothing you don't know. And I didn't do anything. So then.
Slut.
So then they noted that he banged her a couple times after that call.
Yeah.
He, you know, might have just.
He believed her. He trusted her.
Wanted a couple retaps before he was out.
What's wrong with that? It's like it's like convict sex, right? Like, it's almost like a conjugal visit.
You hitting that?
Maybe he liked it because it was more dangerous. He could become.
Could have been. I mean,
he could have been the flesh dust.
Up, down. The other thing that was a little unusual was that, you know, they were really close and they were falling in love, quote unquote, but nothing had really happened between them. They just knew they were getting they really dug each other, and I guess they were sort of having an emotional affair. And then when she was 7 months pregnant, she gave him a blowjob. It's just the timing was a little weird. But that's not his fault. I mean, was he supposed to just turn it down?
No.
I mean, her mouth wasn't pregnant.
He's there, yeah.
Jeez. And then, well, I mean, seriously, what's different about her mouth?
Better there than upsetting the baby.
What's the similar story?
Well, no, because I was telling you I started watching the FX TV series called A Wilderness, or I think it's A Wilderness or of Errors. The Wilderness of Error by Errol Morris was a book that he wrote on Jeffrey McDonald. So it's the big FX Jeffrey McDonald series, five-parter that they're doing. And it's one of those things where they lay out the basic evidence. And
it's on FX?
Yeah, and okay. FX or Hulu. And there's just so many red herrings and like, well, this could have happened. More what I like to call unreasonable doubt. You're like, sure, okay, I believe your story. I just don't think it affects his version of the story because he claims that three guys and a blonde girl in a floppy hat came in, hippies, saying acid is groovy.
Oh, I know. It's kill the story pig. Is so stupid.
And while they're there, they decide to murder his wife and his two little
kids. Lies.
And the photos of the kids that they show are kind of shocking.
Oh, no. But, it's but just the worst thing ever.
He just got away with a puncture wound in his lung.
Yeah, everyone else.
But
and he is, I mean, his beautiful looks aren't even slightly altered. And in fact, he didn't spend a minute in the hospital, did he?
No, he I mean, the theory is.
He claimed he was knocked out or something.
He said he passed out because they found him lying next to his dead wife. I mean, you got to give it up for Jeffrey McDonald. He really knows how to play the character.
Oh, yeah. No, he did. He tried hard.
But it just, to me, it keeps going back to that one part. He's sleeping. He fell asleep on the couch, and they came in, and they just went by him and decided to kill the two kids.
No, I'm still sleeping.
And leave him, and then they fought back with him.
And he never wakes up?
But there were parts of the investigation that were. No, he claims
they stab everybody really hard, but they just barely stab him.
Yeah, he claims he fought with them, and he ended up with one puncture wound.
He fought so hard. He and Smollett really fought back.
But there's so many.
See him and Smollett fight.
There's so many problems with the crime scene, and you have the army because this is on a military. Was it Fort Bragg?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a military base. So they're doing the investigation,
which I hate. I always hate.
I don't know why that is a thing.
I don't either. A crime is a crime, and every time, whether it's Title IX in a college or it's a military, I just feel like it's just not the same thing.
Well, and so the problem is, you know, the military.
You can't handle the truth.
Investigators and prosecutors are you know, that's that. I don't know how many murders they actually handle. Whereas Jeffrey McDonald gets this hotshot lawyer, defense lawyer from Philadelphia, who just turns the whole thing on the military. So I'm not far enough in it. I mean, I know what happens because I know the story. But at the end of episode one, he gets off of the first trial, and he's just totally fine.
Yeah, he goes out to California. He's on Johnny Carson. He's meeting chicks. He's a swinging dick.
And then 20 years later, he convinces Mike Clark and Trudy that he's totally innocent.
Well, he's a pretty convincing guy. But he's been in prison.
It was a complete and total exoneration.
I mean, isn't that amazing when you think about it? That guy's been in prison for like 44 years or something.
Good. Fuck
but,
him.
I mean, he's still fighting to get out. I mean, there are people still trying to get 45. This guy out.
Because there's just enough weird things that people, you know, want to believe. You know, this is what
I think
hate
he thinks he's a silver fox and he's going to get out and he's going to get out there and just, yeah, start nailing
murder
you know,
them all.
60-year-olds.
But the forensic evidence that even the military had is just wild because he had type A blood. His wife was type B, oldest daughter AB, and the youngest daughter was O. So they all had different blood types. So they knew where each person was in the house at some one point or another, and it never matched his story. I don't know. It's a really good documentary. It's filmed well. There's a lot of intrigue about it. But I just watching that episode one, it was back to that whole point of your story doesn't make sense. Sorry. I'm not going to buy that four random hippies chose your house out of the blue.
I think it's such a good true crime story because he was free and then they nailed him.
Yes.
Years later that, by the way, how does he get out? How do you get double jeopardy? How did he get?
I don't. I don't know. I'm only one episode deep.
Okay. I just wonder if maybe they got him. He was free on a military basis, and then they can
spoiler alert
turn the military somehow.
I'm assuming so.
Hmm.
And I do know that he had that one guy who wrote the one book, the real famous book about him that became movies and everything. That Jeffrey McDonald thought that guy was gonna exonerate him while he's in prison.
Oh, that's right.
And he did a total 180 and talk about what a narcissist nut job
he was. Quite a narcissist. That's what's fascinating to me. Because you told me that he was found not guilty at the end of the first episode. So like, oh, I want to see the second episode when he's free.
Yeah.
Then he's just a swinging his dick ever. In California, he buys a big boat. He's on Johnny Carson. Hey, Johnny, how are you?
I didn't know
Hey, Doc!
He's a member of the show.
The handsome doctor.
Next thing you know.
All these chicks felt so sorry for him. Oh, my God, I love him so much. Look what he's been through, and he's so handsome, and he has a boat. I want to sleep with him.
Next thing you know, he murders Ed McMahon and becomes the announcer for Johnny.
I want to heal Jeffrey McDonald.
So I guess
he's a doctor.
Here's
Jeffrey!
Johnny!
So he gets his own nighttime talk show after Carson. Up late with Jeffrey.
He probably practiced at night, like De Niro and whatchamacallit, the comedy.
Oh, yeah.
What's that movie?
The King of Comedy.
King of Comedy.
Yeah.
God, I love that movie.
So McDonald's father-in-law.
Carl Malden. Wasn't Carl Malden his father-in-law?
Oh, in the movie?
Malden plays his father-in-law. So
really?
I always think of Carl Malden as his father-in-law.
He kind of looks like that guy because they showed pictures of him. But he was behind him all the way in the first trial.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then he turned.
Yeah. So I don't know how they got him on another charge.
Wow. Well, that sounds like...
Spoiler alert!
I think it's one of those... It's so fascinating that to a whole new generation, it's worth getting into again.
Yeah.
It's not that there's anything really new to say about it.
The only reason I knew about it was when Trudy and Mike fell in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
And believed him. Whereas Walters and I are listening to that whole interview going, this guy is full of shit.
Yeah, I remember somebody sent a sketch in of the of the Murder Lovers, I think it was called.
Sorry, Trudy. She loved Jeffrey McDonald. She was taken in by his wiles.
Yeah, if we put him in the final 64, he'd go a long way. Damn. All right. Well. Let's mention our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram kicking off their Jeep Celebration event. It's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and you love fully off-road capable vehicles, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered, starting with the new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. The 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive is low as $249 a month if you need a truck. Then go lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And then for pure performance, pour it into an SUV that drives like a sports car. That's easy. Go lease a new 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. So popular. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. So get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And Luke Nowacki is COVID-free. Yes, he is. And he is back to looking at your wealth and how to plan your financial future at 248-663-4748. Rational Financial Advice. Overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. Coronavirus. What does this mean now? What does it mean in 6 months, 6 years? Stocks or bonds? How to balance your portfolio? Do you move your 401k? Is it invested properly? Your college savings plan? Should you have one?
And I will check your portfolio a little bit.
Is your company in the right investments? Get advice. Get a strategy. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748. You got the tag?
I do not.
You do not? Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Lines Associates Incorporated, member of NRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and our marketing and infrastructure services reference here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates.
Nice.
Okay.
We're looking at money.
And entertainment. There was a number of things over the weekend. One being that Dax Shepard, I don't know why he did this, but he has publicly revealed that he had a relapse.
Yeah.
It just didn't sound that bad. He had a motorcycle accident earlier this year.
Yeah, took some pain pills.
And then he's apparently...
The late percent Cody never hurt anybody.
Was really digging the pain pills, and he started buying them, and...
you don't want a recovering addict taking pain pills.
That's no, I was surprised he had any pain pills, yeah. And I guess Kristen was supposed to administer them, but then he started administering them himself on the side,
yeah.
Which, you know, a very old story.
Yeah, nasty.
But he said himself, because I read the story, that he felt bad about revealing this because he said every interview Kristen's going to do now for the next year, she's going to be asked about it. And so that kind of made me wonder, well, why does he need to reveal this?
Because he's got his own podcast.
Yeah, it's great for the podcast, though. Yeah.
I guess so. That's, you know, that I talked to someone, and I mean someone, who listened to his podcast, was very excited, like Stax, mm-hmm. as we all do,
mm-hmm.
and felt that the podcast was too much about, there's too much about his sobriety, and
yeah.
It was a little overly preachy, I think, and well, a little over goody-goody.
Plus, there's so much more to him than just that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in terms of entertainment, but see, you know, he doesn't have to be entertaining the way I want him to be entertaining, or the
sure.
way this person wants him to be entertaining, but anyway, I don't know that... I guess, yeah, you're right. It's good for the podcast.
Mm.
And he does, you know, is the podcast, is that really how he makes a living now? Probably is. He has a ton of audience.
He had that NBC show for a while. Is that cooked now? Is it done?
It's not on anymore. I'm sure it's in reruns somewhere.
Oh, but, and he's on a Netflix show, so he, I mean.
What Netflix show is he on?
It's called The Ranch. Isn't that a Kutcher show? Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, that's the one they had to kick Danny Masterson out of because
right.
you know, raping.
Is that a
people.
Good show?
I've never seen it.
God, it's, you know, I find myself wondering now, okay, so here's Dax. He's in a show. I don't even know about the show. You don't really know about it. Brandon, nobody's seen us. We all like Dax. It seems like the kind of show we would actually check out. But because
no.
there's... No?
It's because it's Ashton Kutcher's show. I had no interest in it, to tell you the truth. I liked him in that 70s show, but I didn't want to, I mean, I like Sam Elliott. He's in it too, but I didn't want to give it a shot because I just don't like Ashton Kutcher.
I agree with you, Brandon. I just didn't know that he even had a show. I didn't know anything about it. I just wonder what do they make the kind of salaries they used to make on shows like that? Because it can't have the kind of audience that his NBC show had.
The show takes place on the fictional Iron River Ranch near the fictitious small town of Garrison, Colorado. Detailing the life of the Bennetts, a dysfunctional family consisting of two brothers, their rancher father, and his estranged wife, the local bar owner.
Hmm. Well, what did they do with the one brother? Did they kill him off after he
Good
started
question.
Raping people in real life?
Yeah, he's only in the first couple seasons. So
I am so intrigued to see what happens to Danny Masterson because, you know, of course, Church Scientology gets him the best attorney you can probably get.
Dax is also a host of Top Gear America.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I just didn't know if that was current.
Top Gear is it was a British show originally, but it's not just about cars, but they do things with cars.
Oh.
The British version was actually really good. I
Yeah, that is a good show. I've seen that show. And I'm not even a gearhead. That was interesting.
Car.
Here.
But his, you know what? Now I'm answering my own question. I remember reading about podcasts, and they were talking about revenues year by year and how podcasts are going to go over the $2 billion mark. I think it's next year. And they mentioned some of the top earning podcasts. His was making like $7 million a year or something like that. So that's a pretty tidy paycheck.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more he needs to do.
Plus, that's what all these guys are trying to do, though. All the famous ones say, well, I'm famous. I'm Rob Lowe. So people are just going to watch my or listen to my show because of who I am, and maybe I can make $5 million a year.
Well, you know, what's really fascinating about that is that if I had guessed, if you put a list of celebrities Dax, Rob Lowe, Topher Grace, you know, just line up. I would say, I'll bet on Dax.
Yep.
I think that show will do well. And those other people, yeah, they think they'll be big stuff, but people will get...
Yeah.
They'll pot fade.
I would think Dax would be more interested in the people on his show than himself, where the other two people you named, like Topher Grace, I think they would be mainly interested in themselves. Well,
Dax is a really entertaining guy. He's a funny guy. He's quick on his feet. So, anyway, also in podcasting...
Well, we saw that in... Punked.
Yeah. And in our studio. I mean, he's really one of the funniest guys you could have to talk
to.
He's just really good. And his mom is funny, too. I keep wishing his mom would send us an email.
Funny anymore.
You could find out. Yeah, she's not. I agree. What's going on? I guess his mom's gone Hollywood.
But she's probably working on his podcast.
I can't believe someone has not gotten word to her.
I'm afraid they have.
Yeah, they probably have.
No, they definitely have, because I've seen interaction on social media where Dax Shepard is answering questions, and he skips over a lot of the Drew and Mike questions.
So it's just it's an outright snub?
What do we do? Do we say something bad?
What the fuck happened?
We love Kristen Bell. Do we say something bad?
No. I don't think we've ever said anything bad about Kristen Bell.
I drive by her childhood house every day.
By the way, Dax was nothing but ass kisses for a long time until we started questioning why he'd gone to Hollywood and it completely snubbed us. But... Whatever.
We'll look in a full-length mirror and say we're wrong.
Without a paddle.
Do you want to hear other podcast news?
What?
Sean Avery, hockey player Sean
yes.
Avery. I think I said Stephen Avery to you early, Brandon.
You did. You confused me.
Sean Avery is mad and fighting with the host of Call Her Daddy.
What? Sean Avery?
They're in a fight, and it's not for the reason I think you would think. His apartment's under construction, and apparently it's interfering with her recording schedule of her podcast. So he went on his podcast and just lit her up. He said she's been filing noise complaints and attempted to leverage her 1 million Instagram following and podcast as a way to halt Sean's construction. She records the podcast every day, despite only releasing an episode a week, a source says.
It's become like a common thing in the NHL for guys to fall in love with my sloppy seconds.
Hey, there's Sean.
So he fired back at her. His podcast is no gruffs given. He recounted receiving a phone call from the landlord asking him to put some kind of phone behind the doors as to not interrupt a tenant's podcast recording. They don't even own the apartment. They're just a renter. He fumed about the complaint. I wanted to listen to the complete and utter bullshit and the entitledness of her and this tenant, he said. Once Avery learned that the unhappy tenant was the girl from Call Her Daddy, he mocked her for thinking she was so important. And he stressed that he had a valid work permit. What really bothers me is that Alex fucking Cooper, who's had a little cup of coffee with her success. She's had 1 year when all of a sudden she's a big shot. She's a fucking joke. She thought she was going to get them to stop construction for 2 hours a day so she can fill her fucking podcast.
Okay. Why is she recording a podcast every day if she's releasing one a week? That doesn't
make sense. Doesn't make any sense. Because I'm sure if she needed 2 hours in a week, he would say, okay, I'll have him stop construction
for 2 hours. That's ridiculous. That's totally stupid. What is she doing every day? I'm dying to know.
I don't know.
She's doing 7 podcasts, and she puts out the one that doesn't suck?
She only does one a week?
Yeah, Call Her Daddy.
I thought she did more than that, too, but maybe she does segments. Maybe she interviews people.
You know who's on her podcast?
Who?
Miley Cyrus.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, that's...
I guess they're really starting to dig up some big people for her to have on because she has so many
Barstool, man. Followers. I mean, Barstool's got a very powerful following. They can move the needle.
Well, when the Boston guy was doing his podcast in Boston, we were in the same place on the charts. And then he got on Barstool, and all of a sudden, whammo, he went up about 50 slots.
Yeah, well, you mean the Boston Morning Sports guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Whammo! Whenever I hear whammo, I think of that gay per view.
Yes, that was funny as hell.
Olympics gay per view.
Really good.
Whammo!
Is it Kirk Minahane?
Yes. Yeah. And that's a really weird story, too, because he had, I think he was in severe depression, and he left that show for quite a while, and then he came back, and then they didn't renew it, and I think there were complaints about stuff they did in the show. I don't remember what they were, but they were sort of PC things, I think.
Yeah.
And then he started a podcast, and the podcast did really well. His Boston radio audience, a lot of them went along on his podcast, and then he somehow got onto Barstool. Well, you know, Portnoy's from Boston, isn't he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think there was a connection there, and it's all worked out really well for everybody.
He went to Michigan. Why can't we be on their platform?
Yeah, come on, Portnoy. And then there's Joe Rogan.
And
I got to tell you, I'm really getting amused by this whole Joe Rogan story, because I just can't get over that these yahoos, these nobodies at Spotify, think that this platform is like Facebook or Twitter, where, you know, there's certain content you try to stay away from. No, this is a person's show.
Yeah.
This is one guy who knows how to draw an incredibly huge audience, and little nobodies at Spotify don't tell someone like that what they can or can't do. Well, that's why they have a great show, because they know what to do.
I think there's got to be worse shows on Spotify. And wouldn't you think there'd be, well, I don't know.
Maybe not.
Was Alex Jones ever on Spotify? I guess he's probably not now.
Hey, Brandon, can you take a look at the Spotify podcast roster? Because they have been adding shows, and I can't think of any that are...
Does J.K. Rowling have a podcast?
I don't know about that.
Because it's people are mad about, like, his transphobia, which, come on, really?
Okay, do you know what that's about?
No.
It's about Joe thinks that when people are transitioning and they go from male to female, mm-hmm. and in many cases, those people then go into girl sports, mm-hmm. and they dominate. And a lot of the female, there's a one case I know, I've read about a few of these.
Oh, yeah.
Where these sprinters are suddenly, you know, this girl was number one in the state, number two in the state, and all of a sudden they're number three and four because there's two trans sprinters
sure.
who transitioned. And I guess they were sprinters as guys, and they were very average, but they're very, you know, they beat these girls out, and they beat them by a lot, and they're really fucking pissed because they feel that it's not fair.
I know, but...
Well, I think it's an interesting discussion.
I just hate the idea that people are transitioning to dominate in sports. With some people,
no, I don't think
Rogan thinks that, but some people.
No,
do.
I don't think he does either. But I think he thinks that they have an unfair advantage because of their physical, their birth.
They probably do. You know who else has unfair advantages? People like LeBron James. I mean, some athletes are.
Well,
better.
But this is a little different.
Yeah. I mean, what about Caster Simone Gimena, that one sprinter who is neither male nor female, or is both?
Yeah, I'm not looking to have the debate. I think it's an interesting topic because...
I got to say, I wouldn't stake my career if I was mad at an opinion like that, like some of these Spotify employees allegedly are.
Yeah, and I don't think Joe Rogan is really looking to put... I don't think it means that much to him either. I just think he thinks it's a good topic, and in fact, it is an interesting topic.
It is a good topic.
I mean, we started talking about it, we couldn't even help it. And he had a guest on who... thinks that this has nothing to do with the athletic thing, but it's an author who feels that it's called, let's see, the transgender craze seducing our daughters. She's implying that that people are being pushed into transitioning. There's so many people transitioning, she thinks it's like a thing, as in not just people saying, I want to transition. Like if anybody's close, they go, you got to transition.
Okay, yeah, that's how it works.
Well, I can't suggest that I'm any kind of an expert on transitioning, but it's an author of a book, and someone sure. published the book, and
he
maybe,
wanted to interview it.
I'm not sure that he didn't disagree with this person.
Yeah, but he wanted it. Yeah. So what's wrong with interviewing somebody, well, anybody, and everybody?
I have to tell you, my real opinion here is that people
kind of how the marketplace of ideas works, right?
People who are of a certain age, I think there's a lot of them who don't really understand what free speech is. I'm serious. I mean, that sounds like a really strong statement, but I don't think they really understand what free speech is.
There's a lot of people that don't understand what free speech is, because it doesn't mean that you can say anything and everything without consequences. It's just in regards to the government.
Well, this has nothing to do with consequences. Spotify knows this show backwards and forwards.
Know,
it's not violating any laws. It's not even that controversial a show, to be honest. I mean, there are far more controversial shows than Joe Rogan.
Sure.
Joe Rogan just happens to be extremely popular. In fact, so, I would venture to say Joe Rogan is about as popular as almost anyone doing a show that is audio content right now.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, it doesn't have the most listeners. Doesn't have more than anybody.
It's got, yeah, it's more got than millions of downloads every week. And Stern yeah. might have more audience.
Okay. And Spotify, by the way, yeah, Joe Rogan is now an exclusive, as well as Michelle Obama, The Last Podcast on the Left, some other big ones.
Okay, well, Michelle Obama, that's a good example of what Spotify thinks, or what the audience of, or what the employees of Spotify probably think. Well, we should have more people like Michelle Obama, who say the right thing all the time.
Well, I hope their boss just replied to him and said, you know what, Rogan's going to bring us a lot of money, and that entitles us to keep you guys employed. Sorry, not sorry.
I don't think that's how these people think. I think they think that people are supposed to speak a certain way, and there's certain ways you can't speak.
They don't have a right to
work. You can't talk that way without a warning or without. They actually have suggested that there should be some editorial control over Joe Rogan.
Not going to happen.
I mean, that's incredible. That blows my mind that there are people that think that.
Yep. Not going to happen.
And, you know, I was reading some of the tweets about this topic, and. I just shake my head. One of them was, who the fuck is Joe Rogan and why does he have a platform? Is this just another white dude airing grievances to other white dudes? Victimization sure does sell in this country.
Well,
we love you, Joe.
So what if it is just a white dude selling to white dudes?
Are white people not allowed to talk to other white people? I mean, really?
Apparently that tweeter's mine.
I have to tell you, I sometimes feel like, I don't want to get started on that, but then there was Alyssa Milano who says, we live in a world where I only have one-third the downloads of Joe Rogan. Dear God!
He's far more entertaining.
So Alyssa Milano believes that what she's saying is so important that this is an unbelievable injustice that she would have.
She's not saying anything anybody else is saying.
She's not entertaining.
She's an echo chamber, too.
I listened to her show because we were talking about doing it with Carl, and it is so dreadfully boring, it's not even interesting to cut up on.
Yeah.
I mean, it is horrible. Absolutely horrific.
That's why it doesn't have an audience.
It doesn't, no. And she does not, hard to say she has one-third the audience of Joe Rogan. That's the worst thing that she said, because that is such bullshit.
Plus,
she doesn't have close, she doesn't have one-thirtieth of his audience.
If that's the kind of content you want, why wouldn't you get it from someone like Michelle Obama? Because I'm sure she's saying the same thing and talking to the same people. Well, why would you want to hear that from Alyssa Milano?
But for her to think there's something materially wrong with Joe Rogan having more audience than her, she's supposed to have more audience. What does it tell you?
She's very entitled.
I mean, that's frightening to me. And this person who doesn't think Joe Rogan that no one can talk to white people. And by the way, it's not about grievances. This whole show is not about grievances.
That might be frightening, but there's no doubt who will survive this, and it will be Rogan, and it won't be Alyssa Milano, because he makes the money.
But it's just amazing that there are people who actually think because I blame this on social media, people growing up thinking they have a voice and my voice matters and you can only say certain things and other things. You can't say them and you can't say them in my workplace. That's wrong. You should be canceled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking insane. Yeah. It makes me wonder what the future of shows like Joe Rogan will be. In fact, someone even called it.
If people want to listen to it or watch it, they'll survive. They will survive.
Oh, I assume that he will, but I just, you know, you have to wonder how far can a show go these days? I mean, if Joe Rogan is considered, because I think Joe Rogan is a pretty reasonable show.
It needs to be under a platform that supports him.
Yeah, and I think Spotify thought they could do that. And I think Spotify, yeah. By the way, if you work for a company where you are so offended by something like this, then you should go work somewhere else.
Well, and once again, isn't there some pretty questionable music that these people should be upset about on Spotify?
Are
they mad about any?
No, that's because that music has a shield. That music, you know, and as far as that music,
David Allen Coe, is he? I'm just trying to think of who they might be upset. Is he on there? Is Hank Williams on there? I mean, what? I don't know.
You know, I was reading about this Megan Thee Stallion story.
Oh, The Stallion.
Yeah. The Stallion. And is it Tory?
Tory Lanez.
Yeah, Tory Lanez. And this guy is now dissing her, acting like fuck her for daring to suggest that I shot her, that she didn't break any bones, and that it couldn't have been a gunshot because she didn't have a broken bone in her foot or something. I mean,
did you hear the updated allegation about when he shot her, he was trying to make her dance like the old West?
What a dick. Kind of funny, but what a dick. You don't do that.
That story has just... It makes me mad on so many levels. First of all, Tory Lanez can shoot his girlfriend, and nobody cares. Yeah. He's put out some new... Oh, he's got some new music out. Hey, let's listen to it. Tory Lanez, oh, he's got all the street cred because he shoots people. And
but you know, she's probably way more famous than he is.
I know, but... Why is it that he can just shoot his girlfriend and look at the people who've been canceled for doing things in the office or, you know, things that are rude to women or things that, I mean, look at some of these cases.
Musicians have a weird shield. I don't know why.
Well, he certainly does. And not only that, he's giving her shit. And he's suggesting that, well, if she didn't tell the cops, you know, and the cops are the ones that noticed that her feet were bleeding.
Yeah.
And I guess she was shot twice, not just once.
Well, she didn't dance good enough.
Anyway, she goes on to say something about she was afraid to tell the cops because she was so scared when they got pulled over that she was getting murdered by the police.
Well, what? Some people feel that way.
You know, that I really feel like that narrative is out of control. It is so out of control. And the more people say it, the more it becomes normal and the more it becomes believed when the police just don't go out to murder people. They just don't. And Breonna Taylor wasn't murdered in her sleep. And that's not doesn't mean it's not any more terrible than or any less terrible than it is. As you know, Barkley was trying to say the same thing. It's so hard to say, too, because it makes it sound like you don't care about Breonna Taylor or you're not upset about it. It's terribly upsetting, but...
Well, these stories become big because there's a lot of questions on both sides.
But her boyfriend shot at the police, and they're going... The police are not going to just sit there and take bullets. And also, the guy said he fired a warning shot, then he tried to say he shot at the floor, then he said that they shot the police, that
also,
they shot him, and it's like,
really? He also said that she was the one with the gun.
Oh, boy. Well... Whatever. What are you going to do? Anyway, as far as the weekend, and the protests go on, and, you know, all these horrible things happen, cars that, you know, run over people or run into people, and then, you know, there's this one car in, I'm not sure, where it was a white car that was trying to get through this protest. Did we talk about this on Thursday?
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
This car's trying to get through a protest, and it's going, I don't know where it was. And that was on the west somewhere.
It was in L.A.
And it's come up on this protest, and it obviously doesn't know there's a protest, so it's just trying to get through, and people are not wanting it to get through. They seem to be mad at the car, and then the car kind of speeds up, gets through. I don't think it hit anyone. But the people were very mad, so this truck, which is leading the protest, just tears ass after the car, cuts it off, and the car stops, and then the protesters start running up the car and smashing the windows, and I'm thinking, oh my God, they're going to fucking kill this guy, and then he just tears around the truck and gets away. And I think the car was pulled over by the police eventually, and they said that the driver said that she was scared, and she just wanted to get out of there. And I don't know if she's charged or anything like that, but it was like, oh, my God, these messy, messy things. Somebody ran over people in a protest. Two people were hit in a protest. Los Angeles, a cop was hospitalized. This has nothing to do with the protest, I don't think. A guy walked into a police station, grabbed the cop's gun, opened fire. I can't believe this guy wasn't shot and killed, to be honest, but he was apparently... gained control of and charged and whatever. Then in Seattle, a cop was hit by a baseball bat, which was on film. Did anybody see that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck? Really? There's another one that this is probably not the worst thing that happened all weekend, but it was something that I just couldn't wrap my brain around. These two people who are part of a protest, and I think there's a New York cop, he's black. He's standing there guarding, it might be a police station or somewhere that they're not allowing people to go in, or they're protecting because they're afraid people are going to do something to it, and two people in masks are up in his face calling him the N-word over and over and over. It's a black guy. He's standing there not doing a thing, not moving, not flinching, and they're flipping the bird in his face, and it's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, you can have any kind of protest, and you can always have two complete assholes. But, I mean, this is just What? I mean, it seems like people are just getting, you know, outrage just grows to new levels, and people just can't stop themselves from taking it to another level, or somehow, you know, assuming that this cop, who's doing nothing, is part of the problem, or maybe they're just trying to trigger him and make him react and do something. That's what it seems like to me a lot of these times, because you see these crowds going oink oink oink, and you know, calling the police pigs. And if you're so afraid of the police that they're going to murder you, why would you be doing that? I mean, it just seems like it's an effort to try and fuck with the cops, because the situation in the West Village in New York, where these people are eating outside, and this has become a common thing, where people are eating outside and protesters go up and start wanting the people to either agree with them or say her name or something. Anyway, the police just go in and they start removing these people from being near the diners. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, there's a row of people recording on their phones, I guess hoping the police will hit someone, or, you know, in case something happens. And it's like, oh, this is just... I mean, it's just so, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just on so many levels, it's so bad for everyone.
Yeah.
And on Friday, I think this was after the show, it might have been Thursday night or Friday, that the poll came out about Black Lives Matter, that 39% now support Black Lives Matter. Now, that number was
dropping. Mm-hmm.
74%, I think, 3 months ago. And for whatever reason, and there could be many, it's just losing momentum. And I don't know what that means or who that helps or who that doesn't help. But then there was a founder of Black Lives Matter Atlanta was arrested. He was soliciting money on Facebook, over $200,000. And he was arrested for money laundering because he bought a house with the money. And I swear, this is the one thing, when people start throwing all this money at Black Lives Matter, way back when, I will find myself wondering, and the same thing with the Louisville merchant who said that Black Lives Matter was demanding a certain percentage of his revenue, and the same thing happened in Milwaukee, do we know what is happening with Black Lives Matter? I mean, it is so much money, and I'm not even accusing them of any wrongdoing, but do people know where the money is going or how it is being used to help?
No. Do we even know? Is there a
filing? I don't feel like I know.
That guy in Atlanta, you know, was it Black Lives Matter of Greater Atlanta? Are they a 501c3?
I have no idea. I don't know. You can just put your flag up on Facebook and say you're Black Lives Matter and you get $200,000?
Pretty much. Well, I was telling you, I was telling Drew about a documentary that is on HBO called, I think it's Agent of Chaos or Chaos Agent. And it's all about how the Russian trolls started and how they grew and how they do things. It's really a little dry, but very fascinating. But one of the things they do is create groups like that just get a massive following. So they had, I think it was Black Matters US, which sounds like a real group, kind of like Black Lives Matter of Greater Atlanta. And they amassed 500,000 followers on, I think, Facebook. And then there was the Star of Texas, which would be the exact opposite far right.
Right.
And that had, you know, 350,000. And they just have created all these groups like this and amassed this following. And then they just sit back and then they just hammer both sides of every story. And it just incites people. And it's not just the U.S. that falls victim to it, because they did it to the Ukraine. And they can do it to other countries, too. It's just amazing the power that they have. You would think these platforms might want to say, hey, you got to be a legitimate organization before we allow you to tweet out stuff.
And I don't even know, you know, half the time. And that's why people keep asking about Black Lives Matter and keep hearing, oh, they give to Democratic candidates. And it would appear that there is money going to some Democratic candidates. But this is not a small amount of money. I mean, it was, you know, the record companies, what was the amount? It was like $600 million. So what do they have a headquarters? They employ people? Who's that? I mean, the last time I heard who the head was this woman in Chicago who said that shoplifting was reparations, yeah, when they tore up all those places and people went apeshit.
Jesse,
like, what
Jackson,
the fuck?
Of all people, put her in her place. And she said, I don't care what Jesse Jackson
said. Who the fuck are you?
It's like, I think Jesse Jackson is probably, even if you don't like him, he's probably done a little more, and to his benefit, too, a little more for civil rights than you have, honey.
Well, it almost fit that she would say that.
If that's really what she was going for here.
Yeah. Also, I don't know why I put this down in entertainment, because probably because I didn't know what to do with it. Kamala Harris was asked who her favorite rapper alive, who she thinks the best rapper alive is, and she said Tupac.
Yeah, still alive.
And then he said,
Machiavelli, baby.
No, he's been gone for a while, but how about somebody that's really alive? And she then chose not to name anyone because there's so many.
Oh, bullshit.
Does she not know a rapper?
She couldn't honestly just say Cardi B.
I guess not.
Even if she didn't agree with it. But see, that's funny. What if she just doesn't like rap music? Is that allowed? What if she likes Indian music?
I guess not.
She's Indian. I mean, this one cares. Who cares what they like and don't like anyway?
I think it was meant to be a fairly simple question because she's talked about rap music before and about, you know, how she liked this rapper or whatever who was... And she said she used to get high and listen to somebody and turned out it was at the same time she was prosecuting people for pot.
She always brings up Tupac whenever. So, I mean, it's her go-to answer. So they got her with the point when they asked alive.
Oh, was it a gotcha question?
No, not at all.
The Wasilla Press.
But she's used that, like you said, the example of when she got busted with her timing and listening to college. Yeah, she said that she loved to listen to, like, Tupac. And
He didn't have a record out then.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's her standard answer, and she just wasn't ready for it when they said alive.
It's probably the only rapper she knows because from Oakland. She probably didn't think of anybody else from Oakland, I guess. By the way, I wouldn't really, if I was her, is Tupac the greatest guy in the world to be promoting?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I was a politician if I would say that.
No.
And the object is not to be honest, but to win, so. Why would you ever say who you really like? Biden, by the way, and I don't know why this came out today, because I was reading the story and I'm like, oh my God, that's kind of silly. It's not a big deal, really. But it was a story. Actually, it wasn't a new story. It was just for some reason someone looked it up. He said that he went to Delaware State, a historically black college.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out he did not go to Delaware State ever, not for one class.
Where did he get his 3 degrees from again that he didn't
He doesn't get? Have 3 degrees. He has one.
That's why I said that he didn't get.
He got one from University of Delaware.
Oh, okay.
So he
confused Delaware State with Delaware.
He is really confused about his college education for some reason.
Remember, he's on drugs.
Oh, yeah. Trump wants him to take a drug test.
What drugs is he looking for there?
I know. Is it going to
get? I have no idea.
You're not going to find crack.
What is it? Cocaine? Performance enhancing drugs? Because either one isn't working for Joe, if that's what he's taking. Is he looking for dementia medication?
Is there dementia medication?
I don't know.
Typically, I mean.
No, not that I know of.
I mean, you can't really fix dementia.
Eesh.
I have no idea how this debate's going to go. I mean, honestly, I have no idea. I was hearing people for the longest saying, oh, Trump's going to kill him. And I thought, I don't know that he will.
I was thinking about this. Let me. Do you think this would be a good line of attack for Biden on Trump if he said, hey, if you're so confident you're going to win, then why don't you hold off on the Supreme Court pick for a while? and he's saying, well, I think you're just scared you're going to lose. And just taunt him like that. But Biden can't do that.
Wrong.
He doesn't have the balls. They don't have the balls to do it.
I think
Trump would.
I feel very confident that Hunter Biden is going to come up in this thing because Biden gets so pissed when people bring up Hunter Biden.
He wants to fight him.
Yeah, I think Trump loves to prick people like that, and I just feel like he's going to do it. Plus, this $3.5 million check from this mayor of Moscow's wife that story is just so weird. Mm-hmm. I never heard it before. And if it has anything to do with Joe Biden or not, which is this is what's weird about the Hunter Biden story. Every time it comes up, or it gets worse, which I felt like it got worse this past week because I don't know why this stuff was unknown, but it was. To me, it was unknown anyway. But I'm watching the coverage of it, and every time it comes up, oh, this is long debunked. You know, like debunked. I don't know what that means. Do you mean that he didn't take $3.5 million, that he didn't get money from Burisma, or do you mean that it's debunked?
I think they mean that there's something illegal in him gaining influence over his dad. I'm just saying that's what people are gonna say.
Well, I don't care if it's, you know, I don't know how you would ever prove it had any impact on anything. It's just that this guy was so fucked up during this period.
If a policy changed, I think it's a little more likely that it influenced things.
I think the story.
It sounds like it freaked everybody the fuck out and they said, tell them to knock it off.
Well, yeah, people in the administration were obviously upset about it. And that should tell you something. But the other thing is, he was so absolutely not worthy of the money. That's the main thing to me, is that he, you know, he didn't do anything. He was in rehab every other week. Yeah. He was smoking crack. He was knocking up strippers. I mean, how in the, this is just so obviously scamola.
Yeah, they clearly paid the wrong Biden.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Bo Biden probably wouldn't have taken money like that.
Well, that's the problem.
And then John Kerry is caught lying about it, which is like, what? Why is John Kerry?
Get back on your swift boat, Kerry. John, oh, wait.
John Kerry obviously just wanted nothing to do with it because it was his stepson who was involved with Hunter Biden and said, I am the fuck out of here if you're doing this Burisma thing. I have a funny feeling that wasn't the only reason he didn't want to be in business with Hunter Biden anymore, but... That was what he said is why he got out of the business.
Well, there's another entitled person, Heinz, you know.
Oh, yeah, the Heinz ketchup kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of Trump needling and poking people, did you see the story about how pleased he was with himself by saying, oh, we'll have to wait and see about him leaving peacefully?
That's right.
I'll have to find that story, but he was very happy with himself because he would go watch TV and watch everybody, all the liberals and all the media freak out about what he said.
Yeah, isn't that what he said before, though? Isn't
kind of what we thought was going to happen. Ooh, nice one.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened there.
It's crazy. You that too?
Yeah.
God, really? Shut up, Brandon. The show? Really?
Hey, did you see the football hero of the weekend? Is not a football hero you think it would be? It was Joe Montana.
Oh yeah,
he
wrestled his grandchild away from a kidnapper.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
39-year-old woman just walked into the home of Joe and Jennifer Montana. I guess they were just staying there, and their grandkid was there, and this lady just took it.
I know, but who did she take the kid from? Because it said took
security
the kid,
breach.
Took the baby from some woman. It's like, who is some woman? What is going on in that house?
That's a great question. So then they went to another part of the house and
that thing goes from my baby.
Montana went after her and just and subdued the. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a cool story.
It's so bizarre.
Although I would have thought Montana would have been staying in a nicer house in Malibu. I'm just saying.
Oh, did they show you the house?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's right.
Let me see it.
And you know how Malibu is where, or maybe you don't know, but, and I only know this because of when Caitlyn Jenner murdered those people driving, but how the road is so close to the homes.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Joe Montana would want to live in a house further away from the road.
It's his house?
No, or stay at a house that's.
I forgot Caitlyn Jenner killed people, yeah.
I know, she's a murderer.
Buckle up, buckaroos.
Oh, wait, this is the wrong one with him. Hang on, I'll find it.
Well, Joe Montana was trying to get disability money from the state of California for his football injuries, and people were fucking pissed about that. I mean, that's ridiculous.
He got hurt.
He couldn't be playing when he's 60, though.
Well, look how close this car is to the road here. That's just a guy driving by that house. But when you think Joe Montana would be staying in a nicer house, it's a very shallow point to this story. That's the house.
Yeah, it looks like kind of a dump.
Maybe he needs that disability money. Montana broke.
Well, honestly, when I saw that disability money story, I was like, why does Joe Montana need money? But, you know, I wasn't sure. Is he just a guy who scams people? Is he just get off on scamming people? Or does he really need the money? Or
he's entitled to it.
I think there was another strange money story about him, though.
Maybe he's got Obama phone.
You on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Who is that on that cut?
Some lady from Cleveland.
I mean, that's a real person's voice.
Yeah. She's low income, she's on disability.
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, no minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone. How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up if you on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks.
I think girls do that.
Romney.
Oh, man.
Romney, he sucks.
All right. The number one story of the weekend was, of course, the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. But I thought the story...
You mean the notorious ACB?
Is someone going to really buy that T-shirt? That's so stupid.
I saw someone who was very mad that they were doing it.
I saw someone wearing a notorious RBG shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, I really thought the number one story of the weekend was Ron Paul having a stroke live on TV. I don't think I've seen anyone get a stroke live.
Well, we saw that one lady with her heavy, heavy burtation.
That was very weird. But that wasn't
a
stroke.
It was not a stroke, no.
No, this was a stroke. And he just it gets really weird. Like, I would have freaked out if I'd seen this live.
Well, the guy, the host was, I thought the host handled it very poorly, by the way.
Can we play it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, I got it here. I had the biggest lag possibly ever.
Is he, what's his situation now, Ron Paul? Is he okay?
I think he's okay. They showed him in the hospital, and he was talking.
Good.
I mean, I feel like something is definitely askew in his brain.
Rid of that. That's a burden. We have him very worried. This. We can't buy it.
Can we have the part before that?
I don't have it.
Is Dr. Paul?
Oh, boy.
Come on, dude. Cut away.
Show him. Let's see him.
I think that guy's having a proxy stroke.
Is that the that's all there was available?
I feel like that guy.
I just want to see where the conversation went before that. If he sounded up to speed before that, was there any sign?
That guy's like, oh my God, Ron Paul's having a stroke. I'm going to pretend to have one too. He just froze. What was that? I'm more mad at the host. Oh, there's Ron Paul giving the thumbs up from the hospital bed. So that's good.
Yeah, everywhere I find it, it's just a quick 20-second clip. I can't find like a full.
Oh, you know what? Did you see?
Look at this from free market economists. It has to be liquidated. We have to get rid of that. That's a burden. We have been very worried. We can't buy it.
Oh, wow. There it is. That's.
Look at this from free market economists. Huh? It has to be liquidated. We have to get rid of that. That's a burden. We have been very worried. We can't buy it.
What are you talking about?
What if you say, what now?
Mr. Paul, you've been drinking too much.
Do what now?
It's Dr. Paul.
I can't hardly hear you.
Who is this guy interviewing?
Is the guy faking a stroke?
My daughter married a black boy. What much I could do about it?
It has to be legal.
what show is this?
Yeah, I got it. That host is just awful.
I mean, it looks like a real half-ass show, doesn't it?
Kind of does.
It's the Ron Paul Liberty Report. So.
Oh, it's his own show?
It's his show.
Oh, that was the guest?
Unless that's just the background.
Oh, my God, guest and that happened.
Well, that's even worse. I bet you'll see that guest on Alyssa Milano's show this week. That guy was terrible. This guy was the worst guest. Do you think he was doing this, too, like searching for his mouse? Like patting around so he could hit leave meeting on the Zoom? And then just pretend that Ron did it while he was stroking out?
Absolutely.
He was so awkwardly involved.
It's the only thing to do. And then send a tweet going, yeah, I was just on Ron Paul's show. I got cut off at the end, but it was great.
I hope he's okay. I think he disconnected me from Zoom. Well, my thoughts and prayers are with you.
Of course.
I mean, in the guest.
So, anyway, there was a really strange thing. CNN went live, on the announcement that Amy Coney Barrett is the Supreme Court Justice.
Nominee.
And so this girl is trying to, talk about it, and the people are just screaming, CNN is fake or fake news or whatever they're doing. She can't get anything out. And Wolf Blitzer is on the board.
Oh, he
just
has no idea.
Absolute wrong person. And Wolf lets this go on for like 25 seconds.
Yeah, because he doesn't even know it happened.
I think you sent it, Brandon. This is so bad.
Right, Wolf, absolutely.
CNN,
I just wanted to say that the crowd behind us, Trump supporters, started chanting fake news. You can hear getting a little bit of
give up, honey.
Wolf Saber. Ariana, I want you to stand by. We can barely hear what you're saying because of the crowd behind you.
Thanks, Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf acts like it's just the polite crowd behind you. It's just a little loud.
After 15 seconds worth.
But then after that, I think I clicked on what you sent, Brandon, and underneath there was a little story about, I guess it was the same story. And Wolf was obsessed with the fact that there weren't enough masks or social distancing at the announcement. I mean, it was like all he would talk about. And I think it was a clip. Did I send it to you, Brandon?
I didn't see it, but I can probably find it here.
You mean at the official announcement?
It's right afterwards, and Wolf is analyzing it, and he just keeps going on and on about the fact that there weren't masks and that this one guy didn't have a mask.
I will say this.
Some live pictures coming in from Middletown, Pennsylvania. The president is going to be heading there in a little while to do another pep rally. You see a huge crowd already gathered over there. Once again, not much social distancing, not much masks, at least as far as we can see over there. Jeremy Diamond, you're still in the Rose Garden for us. We didn't see many masks or a lot of social distancing in the Rose Garden where you are either, did we?
No, we certainly did not, Wolf.
He's wearing a mask.
It was really a who's who of the president's conservative supporters. We saw several of them.
It's a very moving, powerful ceremony in the Rose Garden. Lots of people there, and once again, very few of them wearing masks.
Leave it rolling. He keeps going on about it.
And they were pretty crowded together. We saw a nice crowd, people sitting in the Rose Garden, very close together, very few of them wearing masks. Alex Azar, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, I saw he did put on his mask. Others did not. Were everyone in the Rose Garden, were they tested for coronavirus before allowed in? Because they all got pretty close to each other, and several of them got pretty close to the president.
But most of the people in the audience today were not tested, and many of them arrived
with
masks
on.
Some of them took the masks off as they actually took their seats and began mingling with others. It is really remarkable. We need to remind people we are still in the middle of this pandemic.
This is the Health and Human Services Secretary, Alex Azar. Just a few days ago, he was on CNBC, and you see behind him on the HHS screen, there's the words, "Beat the virus, wear a mask." Now, this is him today in the Rose Garden. He put on a mask briefly, but then he was walking around. You see him in the middle of your screen there. No mask, shaking, fist bumping. It was
no,
very close quarters.
He not shake.
It's hard to understand what he was encouraging mask use, saying it's so, so important just a couple days ago. And then we see him in the Rose Garden not wearing this mask. And we know that wearing a mask will save thousands and thousands of lives.
Why is this so funny to me? I mean, they've just announced a new Supreme Court justice nominee. I mean, it's huge news, and he's so obsessed with the mask. And I thought about it afterwards. I'm like, well, you know, when it comes to masks, it is perfect for 2020 because there's nothing people love more than lecturing other people and tattletaling, because Wolf is on a tattletaling binge there. But, you know, what the people were pointing out, and we're
you
getting,
have to wear a mask every getting, time you go out.
Exactly, Charlotte. Well, people were getting, and I wasn't upset about it, people were getting just livid because all day before that, they were showing all these rallies or protests, and not everyone was wearing a mask, and there was no social distancing whatsoever. And, of course, they don't say a damn thing. But anyway,
I didn't think it's a little weird that they are telling people to wear masks and then they don't.
Well,
Especially Azar.
We've seen that a lot, I think. I mean,
well, but they wonder why people won't then.
Well, I just think the point, it was a very large news event, and it seemed that he was pretty obsessed. But I stand by my point. I think it is the perfect lecturing, tattletaling event for 2020 because people just love to do this. But, you know, as far as the Health and Human Services guy, I don't know. They said he wore one and then he took it off when he went inside.
He's lecturing and then not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, he probably should be wearing one. But Chris Christie,
I mean, well, although he's a model of health, he's not going to die if he gets it.
Yeah, he's not compromised.
Good Morning America today, they did a story, you know, because there's spikes. I think Wisconsin's really bad, I don't know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of spikes, and they talked to this guy. I guess New York's...
New York is having terrible problems again.
The point of the story is how New York's like, we might shut down again if you're not careful. And they turned to a guy who's like... I just want to hang out with my friends. I'm in great health, and I have no health problems. And I'm looking at the guy going, I don't know if I would describe that guy's great health. I mean, he's as overweight as I am.
Oh, he wasn't wearing a mask?
As overweight as I am. No, and he's out hanging out and partying.
Boy. They threw a guy in jail for a year in Maryland because he's had two parties within 5 days of each other. Yeah, I know, the stupid, what was that?
It's a blue mohawk.
Oh, God. It looked ridiculous.
I mean, a blue mohawk, that's maybe cool if it's, you know, early 80s.
If he was 20.
Or if you're Mr. T.
Or he had more hair.
Not if you're an overweight 42-year-old from New Jersey who's
with a receding hairline. I mean, it just looked ridiculous.
That's right. It's like a yarmulke mohawk. It's just in the back.
It's just terrible. You know, as far as the COVID, I think today they said it's up in 32 states, which is a lot. I mean, that's the most I've heard in a while.
Yeah, Wisconsin had its worst hospitalizations and numbers. And
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about hospitalizations, but I assume that, I mean, we have so much going on now. Colleges, giant colleges are back in session. Or not in session. Well, they're not. Yeah, they're back. People are back on campus.
Yeah.
And so we're getting that's driving part of it. We have protests every 5 seconds. That's a lot of people gathered together. And now the weird thing is we're opening movie theaters and bowling alleys going into the teeth of coronavirus.
Yep.
Not that I was against opening bowling alleys and movie theaters. I'm entirely for it, but because I think they'll probably do a very good job. But why would you open them up now if you couldn't open them up all this time? Because now the coronavirus is worse.
Maybe we flatten the curve here.
And why would the Big Ten and Pac-10 choose to play football when it's getting worse?
Well, I mean, do you really want the response to that? Because they say it's because they have the rapid testing and the rapid EKG.
But is that really why they didn't play?
I mean, the money is the number one reason.
Of course, that's why they're playing, because other people are playing, and they're missing out on the money, and they're falling behind. The Pac-10...
always falling behind.
Well, but if you're not going to play a season and the SEC is going to play a whole season and people are going to watch the SEC all year and the Big Ten is just going to sit there on their hands in the Pac-10, I can't imagine anything worse.
Who cares how many people are out? Just ask the Hokies.
Hey, the Hokies won with 23 guys out.
I know.
By the way, what the fuck is going on with the Hokies? We missed two games because coronavirus. We play a game missing 23 people. Do we need? Can Harbaugh help us out a little bit here?
Had like 80 people out the previous 2 weeks.
Was it? Well, one of them wasn't our guys. I think it was the NC State guys.
Oh, maybe that's where they got it from.
Well, they didn't play. I mean, they didn't play that game.
Oh.
And some of these guys were contact traced. They don't have it, but they have to sit out for a certain amount of time. So, but then the second game with Virginia, was that us that had it?
It's only been, what, 20 games postponed so far?
I don't know. How many games have they had?
Goddamn coronavirus.
Before this weekend, I think the number was, what, 32 games played, 15 postponed.
Oh, is it that many?
Yeah.
Wow.
But, they're not tripping.
But first of all, most of the games are
How many games are postponed this weekend?
For this weekend, most of the games we didn't give a shit about, and we didn't care about the teams that were postponed for the most part.
Were there a lot of games postponed this weekend?
Notre Dame is the only one I can think of.
Well, one game's not too bad.
No.
The thing is,
I just can't wait for the argument when it's all said and done as to what team should be in the playoff. Because you'll have one like one that's like Clemson will be 11-0. Alabama will be 8-0. Yeah,
USC is 7-0.
Ohio State will be 6-0. There'll be a team that's 10-1 out of the SEC. And
It seems like they're just trying to copy baseball.
Yeah.
Are the Tigers going to play those Cardinals?
Is it done, by the way, baseball?
Well, it's supposed to be after today, but the Tigers, they were saying they might have to play the Cardinals for a couple games.
Hey, why not?
Well, it might make a difference for the postseason. There were like 44 different postseason possibilities for baseball today.
Oh, my God.
23-35, baby.
Is that the Tigers' record?
Yes, it is.
Well, at least Mickey had a little power...
Week.
Four bombs in 4 days.
Come on.
He hit four home runs in 4 days. That's good. I'm not saying he had a great season. He hit his line drive percentage was very high this year. Much better than his batting average.
What was his OPS? What was the league average?
Was the league average for OPS? I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure he's below it. I mean, he might have jumped above it because of this last stretch here. But, Zimmerman's gone now, which is great. So
why is Zimmerman starting the last game of the season?
Because who cares?
Why not start some guy who maybe is somebody we want to look at?
I just know I'm going to get injured, and Zimmerman already sucked all this money out of the organization.
Because he's gone. Pitch it's every his last game. Hurrah.
So he's, what? He's, who fucking cares?
What, which like, means Mickey oh my is God, the
Zimmerman,
only
he means so
contract.
Much to us. We blew $110 million on him.
I would have made him start every game in the series. Back to back.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't even know why he was on the team this year.
Brandon Miggy did lead the Tigers in home runs this year. That's pretty cool.
And RBIs.
All right.
With 10.
They only played 58 games.
I'm just saying. I mean,
it projects to like 25.
History's going
to
remember that he had 10.
Hey, a guy that gets paid that much money should hit an average of 20 home runs a year.
Believe me, that contract is the biggest.
Look,
it was so obvious that contract was absurd when he signed it. How many years does he have left? Does he have still 3 years left or
like
four
3 years?
Left?
Yeah.
So they owe him another $90 million.
Can they just,
yeah.
they just make him retire? It? Can they just ask him nicely
now,
to retire?
I hate if it because he gave us such a good run.
I told you, go ahead, Brian, sorry.
Winning the Triple Crown, I mean, we can't get, trust me, I will always love Miguel Cabrera for what he, you know, had done. But
what have you done for me lately?
But the team is so albatross. I mean, they're screwed. I mean, they're the worst team in the league. They're going to be bad for probably the next 5 years. They were bad the previous few years. I mean, it's...
Except, awful. I mean, they could pay lots of money if they wanted to. I mean, there was a time when they paid a ton of money to a ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to.
Well, when they signed Miguel Cabrera to this deal, I said this, and this is just assuming that when he was 41, he would not be in the top 10, because it says if he's in the top 10 of a couple categories, that he's automatically renewed for two more years to 43. I said I hated that contract because by the time he was in the last 4 or 5 years of it, we would be so bummed out that we were stuck with him, this guy we loved for all these years. Like, oh God, we still have to pay Miguel Cabrera. It's like it's an albatross.
Yeah, 3 years left, so they only owe him $94 million. Oh. And then if he is top 10 in the voting in this last year, in MVP voting, he gets another season at 30.
I thought he got two more years.
He has to do it.
Oh, it rolls over. Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, he's not in the bottom 10. Of MVP voting this year, I don't think.
I'm always surprised with that amount of money that they owe someone. I'm surprised like they don't find a murder or something in mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, there'd be a few of those guys.
Think about it. If this was the mob and they owed a low performer $94 million, yeah, they'd just off them.
They would off them. They would absolutely off them.
What a concept.
I know. Well, he didn't make much money this year, at least. That's we can true. Feel better about that. Did Miggy go to court to demand that his mistress get less money?
That's a good question. Not that I've seen. We would have heard about it.
Jeremy Renner did it.
That's right.
Why can't Miggy do it?
He should.
Oh, boy. Halloween canceled?
Yeah.
I assume?
That sucks. Yeah.
Great.
Blows, man.
I was looking
at... just wanted Halloween this year.
The only reason well, of course, it's my birthday, so I have always enjoyed Halloween. I like seeing the kids. It's always kind of fun seeing what costumes they're wearing.
Yelling at them from not being from here because...
I never yell at them. I never do that. I love Halloween. I love all the kids that come over. And
Happy birthday to him!
And their cute
I don't care!
Their cute little moms that dress them all up, and they look so nice, and I don't know. It's kind of cute. So
that sucks.
Anyway, but Halloween... is, in terms of a holiday, it's a lot of money for party stores and for, you know...
Those pop-up shops?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, that's sucking a bunch of more money out of the economy. And then New Year's Eve, Times Square is canceled. Not that I care. I mean, I think... I can't think of anything entertaining I've ever seen on New Year's Eve at Times Square.
Well, Mariah Carey.
That was entertaining. You're right.
Some dopes will still go, won't they?
Dick Clark hanging on too long.
Some dopes still show up there.
Probably.
I mean, they're not dropping the ball, so I don't know what they would do there, but...
I would think that would hurt Stadium Pal, too, for all the people that have to buy Stadium Pal so they can urinate in Stadium Pal. Well, how do they... Where do they go to the bathroom?
I don't know.
Do they ever talk about that?
Yeah, sometimes they quiz them. You know, Jenny McCarthy will yell at some person about it, and then they yell back, and then it goes in one ear, out the other, because who cares?
Oh, no, Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen won't be out there doing shots.
Won't they still do some kind of show?
Maybe they will. I don't know.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers, everybody at home.
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you. Happy 50. Thank you so much. Have a great New Year.
Thanks, 50. Come by the clubhouse soon.
I didn't want to explode in front of 50 Cent.
Oh, my God, what a wimp.
I was trying to seem cool in front of him.
I was, too. I called him Shaq at the beginning of the interview.
Is Anderson Cooper, what is he doing on New Year's Eve? He's the worst New Year's Eve person I could possibly imagine.
I have no idea.
I mean, Andy Cohen makes sense. He seems like he'd be a fun guy.
Somewhat entertaining, yeah.
Brother.
Bring back Kathy Griffin.
Oh, well, no. Anderson doesn't like her anymore.
Oh, that's right.
And she doesn't like Anderson anymore either.
Good. Even more better reason to bring him back. Make him do the show together.
Oh, man, you reminded me of something. I got to try to find something. You mentioned Kathy Griffin, and for some reason, Kathy Lee Gifford got stuck in my head. And Kathy Lee Gifford's family went up against Ricky Lake's family in the Celebrity Family Feud.
Oh, yeah. That, by the way, that Celebrity Family Feud, was that Thursday night? Brennan?
It was either Thursday or Friday. Oh, yes, here it is.
It did almost as well as football for some reason. I was like, what? I mean, I realize that sports aren't doing as well, but how could Celebrity Family Feud come close to beating football?
You're talking about the Miami Dolphins-Jacksonville game?
Who cares what game it is? Celebrity Family Feud?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
It was on in my house for some reason. I think my in-laws had it on. And then
we don't trust the remote.
I caught the weirdest looking male camel toe moose knuckle.
What?
And thankfully I saw it and I was going to take a picture of it and I was going to like send it to everybody. But thankfully somebody else saw it. Check this guy's.
This is so
What is that?
And check it out. He even looks at it and goes, oh, God.
He must be looking at the monitor and seeing his dick. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
I think he's stuffing.
It's ridiculous. He has the tightest pants ever.
That is so ridiculous.
Oh, that kind of hurts.
Who dresses that guy?
It hurts my balls looking at it.
No, it's painful.
Oh
my God, is that weird? Jeez.
Here's a fun rock news type story. I was laughing at this guy's quotes. And Prince. I'll save the New York Fire Festival story again.
Oh, okay.
Way too long, yeah.
What's it in? What's
site? You can just have it. I think it's the New York Post. It's like the longest article I've ever seen the Post write.
For Mark Brown, the Head Games began with a cold call from Prince in 1981, and they ended 6 years later with the bassist rechristened Brown Mark by Prince, confident the rock star drilled him out of millions in songwriting royalties. Oh, really?
I hear him out, but I think this bassist might think he's a little more important than what he was.
As related in Brown Mark's, he kept the name?
Yeah, well, it worked. Prince gave it to him.
But I didn't know who Brown Mark was, just as much as I didn't know who Mark Brown was. I mean, I would have known neither one of them.
Clearly
he didn't have to keep the name if he didn't like it.
It's the bass player.
Slap it to bass.
His new memoir, My Life in the Purple Kingdom, playing with Prince was the best times and the worst of times, often at the same time. Like when he was cast in the movie musical Purple Rain. Wait, was he one of the top credits? I don't remember that.
Maybe he has a reason why. Keep reading.
I took drama classes, joined SAG. I took drama classes and acted in the movie, Brown 58 told the Post. Then all my scenes were cut. Prince came up with some lame excuse about having to make the movie short. Oh, is he really? The movie is considered one of the greatest music movies of all time. Does he really feel that it would have been that
much
better?
Better if he was in it. I mean, he took all those acting classes.
Here's Prince again.
That is so weird that that guy asked that question. Who was that asking the question?
The radio host. I don't know.
Here's Prince again.
Who plays a cut to ask a guy if he's gay?
I think it's brilliant.
It's
not
brilliant.
Him asking. It's Prince.
Here's Prince again.
Come on, that's brilliant.
And what's his name? Stewart.
Cordell. Yeah.
Cordell Stewart is
so
bamboozled by it.
There's nothing about no man.
Ask Cordell this.
No.
Are you gay, man?
No.
Are you bisexual?
No. I'm not on the down low.
Here's Prince again. That's what people want to know.
I'm not. No. I'm
not bisexual.
No.
Third time's a charm.
I'm 100% man. I don't do no homophobic. I don't do no.
Yeah, you're doing some homophobic right now.
There's nothing about no dude that I see. But with all due respect.
That's a double negative. There is something about a dude.
I love it when he goes, here's Prince again.
It's not him asking.
Here's Prince again.
So ridiculous.
Really? Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so Brown.
Okay, cool.
Prince, then blowing up in the U.S., filed the release of Dirty Mind, wanted Brown for his band, The Revolution. Brown never asked Prince why he proffered the rags to riches bid, but he has an idea. I was young and moldable. I became the younger version of Prince. I became what he would have been if he played bass. What? What? Then why does no one know you?
His ego is amazing.
Within 3 months, Brown went from his day job at 7-Eleven to sporting a Prince-approved hairdo.
And now he's bitching about it.
Transforming his jerry curls to a relaxer-enhanced Hendrix-style coif. And appearing as part of the Purple Ones band when they opened for the Rolling Stones. They're booed off the stage, by the way.
Yeah.
Needs a haircut.
Because Prince is wearing panties.
Wait, what was Brown Mark wearing?
Probably panties, too. He's Little Prince.
Oh, yeah. Grandma panties. It's not always the same.
Prince could be taxing. During Brown's first time playing with the Revolution, he received a kick from behind, and Prince whispered in his ear, fucking play! I'll find somebody who will play!
That's awesome.
Deploying a disciplinary technique attributed to James Brown, Prince had a road manager tally band members' mistakes on a notepad, then would penalize them accordingly. Almost got fined $1,200 in one gig. That hurts when you make $2,000 a week. He ends up owing Prince money.
Money by the end of the tour.
I didn't think Prince would hold me to it, but he did. He explained that Prince celebrated his musicians on stage flub by singing, I got some money, I got some money.
I got
it. Prince again.
I'm kind of on Prince's side.
Eventually, Brown devised a way of playing that threw off his Napoleonic boss. I used a rumbling bass technique where he could never catch me in a mistake. What? Oh, that's good for the band. That's great. Then there was a need for Brown to always be available. It could be 4 o'clock in the morning and my bat phone, which only Prince had the number, would ring. If I didn't answer, one of Prince's security guards knocked on my door and told me to come to the studio. Prince would be there looking like a rock star ready for a photo shoot, and he had me jam with him and ideas for hours.
And Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Pump up that bass. Pump up that bass. Pump it up.
Brown's hard work with Prince made him known in the business. Well, I fucking known. I've never heard of this guy. And offers rolled in to play with the likes of Miles Davis and George Michael. In 1985, Brown wanted to pursue such opportunities, but Prince convinced him to stay by promising a cut of the profits from an upcoming tour. Ah, ha, ha, that old one!
Should have gotten in writing.
Oops.
You think the bass is taken away from the vocal?
He spent 6 months on the road and grossed over $100 million. Then he gave me an insulting bonus, Brown recalled, the $15,000 check he received. Ooh. Prince told me to talk to the accountant about it. It was a game. It never got resolved. The same can be said for Brown's contribution to the 1986 hit Kiss.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Prince had presented to Brown in a skeletal acoustic form.
Once again, no proof.
I put some Brown style on. There's no Brown style.
Yeah, it's that.
There is no Brown style.
Yeah, the rumbling bass. So you can't tell when he makes a mistake.
Yeah, so nobody knows what it is. And created that song, minus the guitar parts and Prince falsetto, said Brown, who writes a Prince promise. Prince promised him co-writing credit and royalties. Neither materialized. Oh,
gotta get that in writing, Brown Mark.
That was one of his biggest hits. As a one-third writing partner, I could have made millions. You can't recover from that. My bank account did not reflect the 22 gold albums I played on.
Wow.
Brown in January self-released an EP called House Party.
Why is his name? Wait. Why is it Brown Mark? Why is it one name?
Because that's what Prince gave him.
It's not split. It's
Prince
not
rechristened him.
Brown
Prince
Mark.
Gives it's you a like name. It's your word. Legal name. You don't even have to go to court.
So he has one song available on Spotify. He put it out in 2010. Can I guess how many streams it has?
No.
1,600.
I was going to guess about...
Oh, sounds like a great one.
I was going to guess about 1,000.
See how the rumbling bass is.
Wow. It sounds really compelling.
He released an EP called House Party, left the band after the Kiss disappointment. Years later, he and Prince made amends, but their past experience drove the bassist out of big-time show business into his career as a computer tech. He realized he just wanted to be normal. Then why does he call himself Brown Mark?
Listen to that rumbling bass.
The importance of this
is kind of rumbling.
It's obviously the vocals hear it. And not the bass.
Here's Prince again.
I just made the song better with one drop there.
All right, find out about our friends from Hope Not Handcuffs.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin, and I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department, and I just made the split-second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me. Hope Not Handcuffs arrived and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more.
All right, let's get out of here. And we'll be talking about the Lions tomorrow.
Yeah, how are they going to blow this one, huh?
Yeah. A Mazzaway partial score, 10-13 Arizona.
No, Lions, 13-10 Arizona.
Yeah, I think Arizona.
Oh, they missed the extra point?
They did, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Wide right, yeah.
Sounds very Lions-esque. Interesting. Well, you know, Lions are... They were winning in this game. They're always winning at some point. That's the key.
Every game they've ever been in, they've been leading, apparently.
Pretty much. I mean, they're just so close to being number one.
Yeah, but they're not. So
I know. If they only stopped the game at halftime, they would be really good. Somebody said that. I think they were serious.
It was Trudy. Trudy said if they only
played... Trudy say that?
Yeah, she said, why don't they just play three quarters?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll have to check into what Carl wants to do on Tuesdays. I'm sure we'll be talking about a podcast or two or three. And it looks like the Lions are about to score, aren't they?
Yeah, right before the half.
Well, I have this feeling they're going to beat the Cardinals or the Saints. They're going to do something weird on the winning side of the ledger, because they always do.
Very Lions-esque, yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to have a great year, but...
Sure.
Anyway.
They'll probably lose this one. And, right. And then beat the Saints, like the 3-0 Saints.
I'm serious. Well, Saints have lost a game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they lost to the Raiders.
Right, yep.
So, I don't know. I see something really weird happening soon. We'll see. Anyway, have a great one, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's new on the Gay Channel.
What is up?
From his waist up, he is a load. He puts one of those ham bones on you, man, and you're going down.
Monday Night Gay Preview.
It's funny how a guy becomes a hot young guy.
No, he's a heck of a guy.
Don't fear, even though the action's on Monday, it's still as gay as ever.
The plane came that time. You don't know where that fourth guy is coming.
Plus, veteran Al Michaels joins the booth.
How are you doing? Are you getting more comfortable?
Yeah, I'm comfortable as heck.
Me too.
The lineup may be different, but the action's still the same. Gay, gay, homo, homo, gay, gay.
That's helmet to helmet, chest to chest. That knocked a whole lot of stuff loose.
We still have the beefiest guys doing the gayest stuff.
But they're not big old fat guys. I mean, they're like the guys, they look like the guys that used to weigh 260. Just kind of puts his head into Bennett and goes right down.
Along with the youngest, high endurance twinks.
Barber gets in and out of that hole so quickly that it was just a blur as he went through there. I'll tell you, there's something about, you know, being in a high school, and it feels pretty good. You know what I mean?
Gay Preview's fun for everyone, including the old timers. John still features a classic butt sex.
He's going to come from this backside, and you see him right there, and he has him. You know, that's the look you have before you know there's on you. That look there.
Right.
Where the mouth is kind of open.
And the kids always enjoy the premature bloopers.
Yep, it was a little early.
Yeah.
That was one of those timing deals that didn't work out.
There's even special homo instruction from the coach himself.
He does better when he's mad. I'd like to make him mad right now. Instead of going like this, I mean, all the other guys' fistings, he was going like this. That's not a move. You don't do that. So I had him, I swear, this is no kidding, I had him on Saturday morning working on a move to get your hands up. I would show some emotion.
Just dial 1-800-HEY-CUTIE for Gay Preview.
He is a low.
Me too.
It is so gay.
It's coming to the Gay Channel.
What is up?
It's Olympic Gay Preview.
Steve, one of the advantages of being tall is that you can let the knees come up all the way to the chest. You check it out, he's got his hanging out of his pocket.
The most highly trained buff young athletes in the world, homoing out.
Nice technique through the middle section. Just shows you all the strength that this kid has.
And the only judge is you.
He said he could slay a dragon. He just showed you right there.
Well, here's another dragon slayer for the USA.
He's going so fast. None of the Finns can even keep up with him.
Lick your lips as the Olympic Village has turned into an international homo pit.
He slows down, he checks his speed, but gets a nice grab underneath the tip.
Everybody's a medal winner in Olympic Gay Preview. Where else can you see a hunky American loser mix it up with a wimpy Russian figure skater?
And today, wow, he is at the top!
USA! USA!
He's getting bucked around, he's in the back, holding on for dear life.
Looks like we're getting gold for size.
This is so huge.
This is gonna hurt him.
Come on, finish him off. USA! USA!
Wham! Oh, there it is! And the crowd's going nuts!
Olympic Gay Preview! The same competitive atmosphere and family participation of any other Olympic sport!
And there's Dad Larry up the stands, relieved. A solid effort, and the crowd is delighted.
Tell me you haven't wondered about these femi figure skaters getting it on with each other.
Your legs want to pry apart when you're going super fast.
What do those dual or double luge guys do when you turn them loose?
Getting back in, it's important right here to keep tight.
Call 1-800-HEY-CUTIE today and do your personal best watching Olympic Gay Preview.
Wow!